Matters. Tomorrow's news today.
Over 100 people were murdered in Russia on Friday, including women and children. 11 terrorists were captured by Russian authorities as they attempted to cross the border into Ukraine. They are being interrogated, and all roads lead to the U.S. State Department, who have been directing Ukrainian forces since their 2014 coup. The attack occurred on March 22nd, or 322. 322 is the mysterious number used by Yale's infamous Skull and Bones Society. The official story is that 322 symbolizes the year 322 BC to memorialize the event seen as the turning point which transformed Athens from a democracy to a plutocracy. A plutocracy is a society that is ruled by no other political philosophy other than the financial elite being in control of the people's destiny. The Skull and Bones is a grooming academy for the CIA, such as former director of the CIA, George Bush, and 322 is their calling card. During the Tucker Carlson interview, President Putin was clearly speaking to the CIA. The CIA responded in a New York Times article admitting that they are using Ukraine as a proxy to wage war against Russia. Weeks before the attack, Victoria Nuland repeatedly boasted that Putin was in for a nasty surprise.
Mr. Putin's going to get some nice surprises on the battlefield, and that Ukraine will make some very strong success this year.
This supplemental funding will ensure Putin faces some nasty surprises on the battlefield this year.
On March 7th, the U.S. Embassy issued a warning about the threat of terrorist attacks in Moscow, specifying concerts. The British Embassy in Moscow mirrored this warning. Days before the attack, Barack Obama paid an unexpected visit to the British Prime Minister at 10 Downing Street.
President Obama, are you worried that Putin will rule forever? President Obama, why should we care about democracy in Russia?
Do you have a few moments?
Will you speak to us? Come and have a chat with us for a minute.
How did it go? What did you talk about?
Within hours of the attack, and without any evidence, the U.S. government blames the attack on the Islamic State and says that Ukraine is not involved. The very next day, while Russians were grieving, CIA mouthpiece The Washington Post gloated how the U.S. had prior knowledge of the attack and people still died. It has been noted that the terrorists were either professional assassins or trained by Western forces, for they were demonstrating NATO training methods, such as shooting in small bursts, trigger control, and proper mag reloads. For anyone with eyes to see, this is the modus operandi of the West. Al-Qaeda was famously created by Western intelligence agencies to fight the Russians in Afghanistan, and has been cultivated by the U.S. government and used as a catalyst for illegal wars and tyrannical laws against U.S. citizens. Ukraine's spy chief said 3 months ago, expect more attacks deep inside of Russia.
I'm very glad to see this. Yeah. That's my reaction.
That's your reaction. You're happy to see it.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be more?
I think so.
Inside Russia? Deep inside Russia?
Deeper and deeper.
Dmitry Medvedev said that everyone is asking him what to do. He answered that those who were caught need to be killed, but it's much more important to kill everyone involved, everyone who paid, who sympathized, and who helped. Kill them all. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Another live transmission from the vaunted InfoWars studios deep in the heart of Texas. Austin broadcasting worldwide, 224 days, 12 hours, 53 minutes, 26 seconds, the most important election in world history. Huge developments on so many fronts. As time compresses, the quickening accelerates towards the singularity. It is Monday, March 25th, 2024. I have a special guest joining us on all the big wars that are taking place, particularly in the Middle East and in Palestine and Israel. But other than that, we're going to open the phones up today in the first and second hour. have a lot of big developments. People are hailing this as a victory for Trump. No, it's not. Because I've checked the law. I've talked to lawyers that are involved in posting big bonds and cases. And the mainline analysts admit that he owns so much property, property itself worth in the tens of billions, that all you have to do is post the property as collateral to that. But the courts are not allowing that. And so now, today, the court reduced it from $450+ million, the New York appeals court, to $175 million, as he appeals the fine in the New York City case. Quite a fine. But CNN said, don't worry, last week. They said he can just sell Mar-a-Lago. People will buy it for $250, $500 million, they're saying. But the judge, who doesn't have a real estate license and didn't even have a jury in another state, he said, that's worth $18 million. All I can say is absolutely incredible. We've got that. Really, the big elephant in the room is the totally open borders and the other than Latin American. That's what the Border Patrol calls it, other than Mexican, other than Latin American. They have different categories that they officially have. The Border Patrol chief has reported over 160 different nations have sent individuals, or they've caught individuals from those nations, and they're warning of imminent terror attacks, and reporting that ISIS has been rearmed after the disastrous snap withdrawal that Biden engaged in 2 years ago out of Afghanistan. Of course, that ties into the supposed ISIS attack in Russia. So we're going to be spending a lot of time on that stack of information today. Also, I mentioned this some yesterday, but I want to really dig into it today. A whole stack of articles, New York Times, Time Magazine, Rolling Stone, you name it, with the Democrats saying, oh, we've got a plan to stop Trump from stealing the election by basically stealing it. Now we've got a new clip of Liz Cheney. Future of democracy depends on making sure Republicans are not in the majority. Liz Cheney is now campaigning openly for the Democratic Party and the defeat of all Republicans, which is what Dick Cheney and all these people have always been. And the apple did not fall far from the tree. You look at George Herbert Walker Bush, first hired by Governor Nelson Rockefeller, and then he was at the CIA, and then he was the ambassador to China to open up China in the 70s. He said, I am a Rockefeller Republican. Well, that means a blue blood neocon rhino. And look, we all know that. I'm stating the obvious here. They're like, Alex, tell us something we don't know. Next, you're going to tell us grass is green, maybe, and that, again, little birdies fly in the sky. But it's amazing. The secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. Remember that report 2 years ago when they bragged how they stole the election, now 3 years ago? Biden is building a superstructure to stop Trump from stealing the election. That's one of the new articles out of Rolling Stone. There's a big article on it at Infowars.com. So we're going to be hitting all of that today as well. You know, I don't normally focus on the royals because they're just an evil globalist organization, and they're not the British government. They're not the symbol of the people of the UK. They're not even British. They're not even Scottish. They're Eastern European, ancient, thousand-year-old royalty and the main royal dynasty of Europe going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. But there was a big debate about where's Kate Middleton? She's not been seen in months. And there was a conspiracy theory of you said maybe something was wrong with her. And now she's been out in public. Oh, she's just fine. All the conspiracies, it's a body double. I don't think it's a body double. It looks just like her. But sure enough, cancer, we're told. And she's gone in for surgery. And it's in her guts, but they won't say specifically what. And then I noticed, if you talk about the exploding cancer rates in young people after the deadly mRNA shots, which we predicted would cause this because all the top scientists predicted it, including the inventor of mRNA and others, including the former head of their virology operation, their vice president, Dr. Michael Yeadon, as well. the spin machine has gone into overdrive that, yes, cancer rates are exploding. Yes, heart attack rates are exploding. Yes, myocarditis is exploding. Yes, infertility is exploding. Yes, blood clots are exploding. Yes, drugs are exploding. But it's a conspiracy to say it's linked to the shots. Well, funny, I pulled up mainline government reports saying the shots could and would cause that. They just call it rare. So I have 1, 2, 3 stacks on that. And then that stack, those stacks tie into this stack. FDA admits COVID vaccine leads to significantly elevated risk of seizures in toddlers. Mainstream U.S. government. The Pope says not taking the shot is an act of suicide, refuses to condemn transhumanist mRNA injections. Japanese study urges halt on mRNA vaccines amid blood bank contamination fears. And the FDA had to retreat, of course, in the last few weeks and admit that ivermectin works and ivermectin's good. So I'll be drilling through all of that. We have Israel obviously announcing last week that they're planning to invade what's left of Gaza into Rafah and drive them up against the huge 75-foot barbed fences that are there on the border with Egypt, and then Israeli walls around the rest of it. The only area to escape would be to the sea, where the United States has built a giant makeshift pier. And if you think bombing refugee camps with 2,000-pound bombs isn't genocide, I don't know what it is. And there's been this big hoopla. I mean, we're talking, without me even trying to count, 100 million views. It's got to be hundreds of thousands of X comments. Since last week, we aired the footage of clearly youth in southern Gaza walking up the middle of the dirt road and being missiled to death by drones. And I just said, this is indiscriminate. Israel's losing the high ground. I'm not anti-Israel, but at the same time, I'm not anti-U.S., but I don't like it when our government did things around the world that were wrong. And what the Israeli government has been up to is disingenuous and dishonest. I mean, we know there was a stand-down on October 7th. We're not sure exactly who's done it. Netanyahu said, well, we'll investigate after the war is over. And now they say the war is basically never going to end. First, it would last a year. Now they're saying 2 years. So we see where this is headed, a permanent military state. And they've tried to brainwash Americans, that is the pro-war types in the Middle East and in our own Pentagon, that if you don't support everything the Israeli government does, you hate Jews and you're anti-Semitic. And I resent that. It's not true, obviously, on its face. The majority of Jews in Israel don't agree with Benjamin Netanyahu. You ask, how is he in power? Well, it's a parliamentary system, so he can have 20% of the vote, just like Justin Trudeau, and still be in power. And I don't even have a hard-on for Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't know if he ordered the stand-down. But they, even Israeli newspapers admit there was a stand-down, but he doesn't want an investigation of it right now. So since October 7th, I've said I'm nebulous on who was behind the stand-down. More and more, it moves to the Likudniks and to Netanyahu because he's using it to stay in power. He doesn't want an investigation. He was getting a lot of heat for it weeks after October 7th. He kind of blamed the top generals. Then they blamed him. Then he apologized to them. So I'm not exactly sure who did the stand down, but even if you're pro-Israel, you should be able to look at the images coming out of Gaza and know that it's turning the world against Israel. And why would Israel then do this? Just for some more oceanfront property, like Jared Kushner says, which is a disgusting statement, but honest. So less disgusting than lying about it. I guess they're real estate people. That's how they see everything. Like when Trump went to Kim Jong-un and said, I have people as slaves. You could have golf courses and hotels and casinos. Well, you'll be more valuable than South Korea, which is true. They've got more land. South Korea is the most prosperous country per capita money-wise in the world for the average citizen. Look at the North. It's the most poor. And I'm not here apologizing what Jared Kushner said. I'm just, it's just unbelievable these statements are made. And so I've tried to stay neutral on this Israel thing, Palestinian issue, because that's not everything I look at. I'm worried about hundreds of millions set to starve from the food and fertilizer being cut off. The 80-plus million the UN admits have starved to death the last 4 years as a result of the lockdowns and the chain reaction that caused. I'm concerned about the hundreds of thousands of fentanyl deaths a year, and the open borders, and the Satanism, and the pedophilia, and Hollywood, and the New World Order, and war with Russia, and nuclear war, and hyperinflation. But to the left and to the right in America, it's been like this since I was a little kid. I'm 50 now, but since I've been on air 30 years, this is basically where liberals and conservatives spend about half their time talking about Israel and Palestine all day. And so I've tried to stay out of it because it gives me a headache. And the different groups that totally support Israel, no matter what Israel does, are in a cult. And the groups that totally hate Israel and blame everything on Israel and Jews are in a cult. And it gives me a headache. And so I've been attacked by the pro-Israel crowd of not being pro-Israel enough. And I've been attacked by the pro-Palestinian crowd as working for the Zionists. It's just horse crap. Just like when I'm against war with Russia. Oh, you work for the Russians. No, I don't. I'm against nuclear war. I like living. And quite frankly, I'm sick of talking about Russia. I want to talk about our border. I want to talk about the test scores basically plummeting to almost zero. Many school districts in America can't graduate even 5% of their students with passing grades. It's mainly blue cities. I mean, our country is a wreck. The world is a wreck. We've got major financial crises already happening, even more on the horizon. This is serious. And so I try to have adult discussions about all of this. The rabbi that has been going after Candace Owens, and she's been going back after him, has been attacking me. Chumley, I think is how you say his name. Or Chumley. Schmoley. I don't have his name in front of me. I'm not trying to be sarcastic with the name. Schmoley. And he's either completely insane, in my view, or he's like the ADL trying to get Jews persecuted so that, you know, he can be the leader and the savior. So I challenged him to come on the show and discuss this. And he said, I'll debate you and I'll digitally, you know, decapitate you and all this other stuff. So I hit him back. You can read it all on X. And I said, I didn't say debate you. I want to have a serious discussion with you. But if you want to have a debate, that's fine. You know, it's like the Kanye West thing turned into a debate. And he came here to debate me. He's supposed to be a guest on the show. And it's the same thing when Nick Fuentes was on. Everybody calls it a debate. And or it turned into a debate with Stu Peters. I didn't intend any of that to be a debate. I never called those a debate. I said we were having them on for a discussion. You can call it a debate if you want about the issues. And it just becomes this mindlessness where you have to pick a side, and he has not responded since I happened to wake up to take a piss at like 3:30 in the morning, pick my phone up just to look at it. I noticed he just responded back saying, yeah, I'll debate you. So I hit him up 3 or 4 times today and privately, Rabbi Schumley, and said, will you please come on? So I, as of now, unless I haven't looked at my phone in 30 minutes, he hasn't said he'll come on, but I think that'd be a really, really good discussion or debate. But I just don't want to sit here and spew names at him and then have him spew names back. And then I'm supposed to take the anti-Jew position, according to him. That's what I stand for. And then spew back bad stuff about Jews in Israel. And then he spews back bad things about me. I mean, I really want to ask him what the hell he thinks he's doing. And yeah, in both the videos he's posted, he's not stupid. I've seen him do serious interviews. He's doing provocative stuff, lap dances on top children, pinching little girls' breasts, while he wears a witch outfit. Come on, man. Maybe he's had a nervous breakdown, but he doesn't know it. So we've got a guest coming on in the third hour who's going to be discussing the crisis in Gaza. Hala Jaber, she's a very well-spoken journalist, award-winning. So look for that coming up in the third hour. But, you know, it's really a self-fulfilling prophecy. Here I am saying I'm sick of talking about Israel. And now everything has to be put in a box. You're either totally for Israel, whoever's in power over there, whatever their new policy is, forced injections, whatever it is. Oh, don't criticize Netanyahu for trying to force injections on people or saying Israel's now the guinea pig state where we're going to test on our citizens new drugs to see if they work. And I attacked Netanyahu last year when he said that with Jordan Peterson. And I got massively attacked. What are you doing? You're anti-Semitic now. That's just crazy talk. I'm against forced injections in Australia and the United States and Germany and everywhere. We're really all a human community who are being attacked by very corrupt corporations and groups. And Israel and Israel's representatives like the ADL really are trying to stir up a clash of civilizations with the West. And I can tell you that their rabbis and leaders on TV in English and in Hebrew, I could sit here and play you 100 clips today of prominent rabbis on TV saying, we want to destroy the Christians and the Muslims and have them all kill each other. And we're glad America's killing the Muslims for us because it kills them too. And everybody else is subhuman and we're the superior people. And I'm just sitting there watching this. And I'm just like, you know, everybody goes and puts this on the internet, right? And there are a lot of Jews calling them out. But then most of them run over and then support Hezbollah and the Muslims who openly say they're going to take over. That's just like, please, man. I didn't grow up in the Middle East. I've never been there. I've studied it. It's very interesting. But good God, I am a Western Christian Renaissance man. I do want a free society. I do want people to live in peace. And that's why the West has been the best place per capita to live in the world. We've had plenty of problems. But all of this Eastern weirdness, we're exporting it, folks, and it's all duplicitous. It's all backstabbing. It's sick. It's absolutely disgusting. And there are some good parts of the cultures there, but it has descended into madness. And that's just where I stand on this. So I've already digressed off into it. But trying to be level-headed and trying to have a real discussion, and you either totally back whatever Muslims want to do, whatever faction is demanding something, or you're bad, or you do whatever the leftist Jewish organizations in Israel and whoever's in power say, or you're an anti-Semite, and people are sick of being called this. Sick of being, I mean, I'm not, I noticed this Shumley rabbi posted on X to somebody really making an in general anti-Jew statement, which I don't think's fair. You know, you're all evil, you're all bad thing. He said, oh, you're just obsessed with us. You're just jealous of us. You're just obsessed. Well, here's the deal. I don't want to be obsessed with you. And the world is, yes, forcing everyone to be obsessed with Jews. And that's just where we are. And that's the new big item. And for thousands of years, it reemerges. And I think we'd all be really smart here not to get into a clash of civilizations that a very evil force behind the scenes, the devil, is manipulating, in my view, to destroy humanity. I noticed another creepy clip from Shumley I saw last week, where he says, all you other religions don't get it. We in Judaism don't believe in Satan. There's only God, and God's so wonderful. And he's kind of dancing around like a demon and, you know, looks like a pretty creepy dude. I mean, if I was going to cast somebody to be the, you know, the bad guy in the next Saw movie, it'd be him. I mean, he makes your skin crawl. Not because he's Jewish, but because he makes your skin crawl. Like Dr. Zelenko, loving, smart, intelligent man, great, you know, person whose family comes from a rabbinical background. He would bring tears to my eyes at things he would say. You could feel his goodness and his soul. And I've known so many Jews like that that are great people. And then you got this guy. It's like saying Hitler represents the Germans. And I'm not saying Shumley is Hitler. I'm just saying Hitler makes my skin crawl. You look at him. You look at his eyes. You look at the attitude. It's dark. It's dangerous. It's scary. It makes me think I'm going to put my fist up. Well, Shumley makes me think I don't want to turn my back on him. I mean, this guy is a caricature. And by the way, every group has this caricature. But he is like literally putting on costumes to exacerbate it. And I'm already going down the rabbit hole. Oh my God, I'm so sick of this. But I mean, it's everywhere. I have to address it. I have to talk about it. And I'll just tell you, I don't want to be in the anti-Israel, anti-Jew camp, and I don't want to be in the radical Islamist camp, and I do not want to be in the crazy Israeli camp with all the infighting and all of the psycho behavior and the genocide stuff. Just, I am not in either one of your clubs. Get that straight. I'm like Switzerland, baby. I am neutral. But I'm going to make observations here from Switzerland about what I think about the two sides acting like complete maniacs are doing. And I'm also going to say I don't want the million-plus Islamic refugees taken here that Israel says are so deadly they got to even kill the children. That's all over Israeli TV. But then you want us to take them. In fact, if Israel successfully ships these people over and anybody gets killed, I'm going to hold Israel responsible and Netanyahu. All right, let's start drilling into the news. I've already mentioned a lot of what's coming up. I'm going to start opening the phones up in the second hour. So we'll start taking your calls in the last segment of this hour, getting you lined up to come on just a few minutes into hour number two. Coming up next segment, I want to talk about the Islamic terror threat in America that is extremely real. And that the wars we've had over there have exacerbated it. Then notice the globalists opened the borders up to Europe and the U.S. to bring them in. And a lot of these terror groups are controlled by the CIA and others. So we've got that very, very important stack. But I wanted to play a short clip of Tucker Carlson explaining that the U.S./British Empire model, and then that's what the New World Order is fading. At the highest levels, the globalists have actually planned this for a while, but they thought China would still be allied with them. They're not. So that's why the Western Empire is in so much trouble. And I see China as just as bad as the New World Order, basically a demonic doppelganger of it. But it's definitely broken with the globalists, but it still controls a lot of our politicians. So here's Tucker Carlson talking about it.
Because the world is resetting completely. The post-war order is collapsing. NATO is going to collapse, obviously. You can't have the driver of NATO, which is the United States, sabotage Germany's main source of cheap energy in Nord Stream. The Biden administration blew up Nord Stream. And the Germans are so self-hating, they won't say anything about it. They sort of put their head down like, no, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. But I do want to talk about it because it's important. First of all, it was the biggest act of industrial sabotage in history. Second, it was the largest man-made CO2 emission in history, which if you're a global warming cultist is like the devil himself come to Earth, and the Biden administration did that. But third and most important, it was an attack on Germany, which is the most powerful country in Europe. Western Europe is America's last main ally, and we just attacked our most important ally. NATO cannot stand long term. At some point, the Germans are going to wake up and be like, wait a second, we had chemical plants 2 years ago. Now we don't. You just wrecked our economy. I don't think it can continue after that. I really don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see how it does.
That's right. For people that don't know, they make fertilizer out of natural gas. It's one of the main sources. So, and the Dutch government just shut off half their nitrogen production, period. And people say, okay, who cares? That's industrial. That's stuff that engineers deal with. It's what grows the damn food, people. So the globalists aren't just cutting off the third world's food, which is terrible. Then they flood us, the survivors. They're cutting off the entire world's food supply. Now here, that just means your grocery bills are double and it hurts you bad. You can't go to the movies and you can't send your kids to college or go on a vacation. The third world, it means you die. Okay, so this is the angrier world. The dominoes are already falling. we're deep into this, and we have such a normalcy bias of living in relative freedom and security, they've already irrevocably put things into motion that even if you try to turn it around now, it's going to be disastrous. And if these policies of cutting off the food for plants, which is the food for humans and the animals we eat, and you cut the energy off to the machines that get us everywhere we go and that also help produce the food, what happens? Again, if you walk out in a parking lot and I've got a 5-gallon tank siphoning the last 5 gallons out of your car, that means your car's not going to start. And you can't just go down the street to a gas station, okay, when it comes to fertilizer. Once you've put this into motion, they've already drained the damn tank. The third world is already melting down. It's already flooding us. It's irrevocably devastating now. And you notice what I told you months ago, from the actuaries I've seen, it appears to me that really about a year ago, world population peaked and started dropping dramatically, but they were hiding it. Well, now Yahoo, AP, Reuters all say, guess what? A year ago, population began to actually drop. They'll drop by half in just the next 60 years or so, and further after that. Oh, and so is life expectancy. And then it's normal now to have heart attacks when you're 8 years old and cancer when you're 15. I'm going to cover all that coming up, too. So it's a frickin' dystopia, people. So I'll say this again. While we all obsess over the Palestinians, which it's wrong, and it's wrong that 25,000 kids and women have died conservatively, but it's also wrong to not talk about the 80-plus million starved to death the UN admits from the lockdowns, not from the virus, and the dominoes falling that'll kill hundreds of millions in just the next few years, and the hell that's going to create. Half the world lives on less than $2 a day. When they start spending more than half of their pay, $14 a week on average, on food and energy, everything melts down, and you get road warrior, and you get cannibalism, you get Haiti. So I just keep ringing the alarm, and you're like, yeah, I see my food costs a lot more. Yeah, and, you know, what are you making, even as a blue-collar worker? You know, what are you making, $200 a day? You can barely live on that? You pull up and gas is too expensive, food's too expensive? You're having to bum money off your parents, whatever, get 2-3 jobs? Imagine making $2 a day. That's the global average in half the world. All right, I'm going to stop there. I am just so upset right now. And then people think, oh, the left's crazy, going after the meat packers and going after the oil producers and going after everybody. And now Letitia James and George Soros suing all these industries. They're going to shut America down. That's the plan, folks. That's the post-industrial plan. So here's Kevin O'Leary chiming on the latest with Trump and the financial markets globally, how they see it.
Hope more people think about it, but they're gnashing their teeth, Tish James, at seizing properties. And people in the press are applauding. They're giggling. This is bloodthirsty.
Okay, now you're talking. You're right. This is hurting the American brand. What's going on in New York is, it has nothing to do with Trump. That case is over. What's going on now is concerning financial markets all around the world, because in the United States, and everybody, what, I don't care what color you are, red or blue or independent, doesn't matter, we are the bastion of safety when it comes to investing large pools of capital. That's what America represents. We have property rights. We have an appellate system. We have law people trust, and we give you good returns with the least amount of resistance. And what's happening in New York is tainting the American brand. I mean, seizing assets after 22 days? In a bankruptcy court, you get years to resolve this. This is not a good look on New York. It doesn't matter that it's Trump. It could be anybody. I think that's very bad for the American brand. And I also would argue that you think about if this is going to help New Yorkers, they should be asking for better management. I'm very disturbed. And the way I look at it, and I speak to many institutional capital fronts, including sovereign wealth, because I'm trying to buy TikTok right now. So I'm running all around the world trying to raise $30, $40 billion. And they all ask me the same thing. We're watching this New York thing play out. it looks to everybody like it was some dress-up court day when the parents were out and everybody got dressed up in robes and had fun acting out some court trial. When are the adults coming back into this? There are no adults yet.
That's true. I mean, you're running around trying to raise $40 billion. I'm running around trying to sell my book, get it together. Doing different things, but I believe we believe the same things. Kevin O'Leary, thanks as always for sharing your expertise on Primetime.
By the way, O'Leary's right about all this, obviously, and I've been playing a lot of his clips because this is just like shutting off the major pipelines across the country. The first week he got in office, he didn't just shut down the Keystone. Over 2,000 spurs that had to be upgraded, they said no more permits to fix any of those gas, oil, or fuel pipelines. And he shut down dozens of other big pipelines. He tried to shut down the two big pipelines out of Canada into Michigan. I mean, this is devastating. What does a foreign military do when they invade you, if it's a major military? They bomb your energy production and energy delivery systems first. You blow up the energy systems, and your enemy can't operate. The criminals running our government have already shipped our jobs overseas. Now they're just going down the switches, flip, 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 turning us off. Like in 2001 Space Odyssey, when the astronaut gets into the computer bank to turn off the HAL 9000. I'm afraid, Dave, I'm afraid. They're just going on the line, turning us off, turning us off, turning us off. And the left thinks it's funny. All right, we continue here, even on the Alex Jones Show, to mainly focus on the giant theater attack in Moscow last Friday and all the spin around that and who really runs ISIS and the history of it. The larger issue is Biden 2+ years ago gave 86 billion dollars worth of weapons to the smorgasbord of different Islamic groups, including ISIS-K that operates out of Afghanistan. And we know a lot of those weapons have showed up in Europe and mainly in the Middle East. So that's a big deal. Why the hell did Biden do that when Trump had a 6-month withdrawal plan that would have been orderly? And then why did Biden give $6 billion to Iran a month before Hezbollah trained and launched the attack through Hamas against Israel that I think was terrible, that I repudiated? Why did Israel stand down? Which we know they did. That's not debated. The question is who gave the order. So there's a bigger clash coming out of this, the globalists want. A global trigger that'll be the smokescreen for bringing in the new cashless society, the central bank digital currencies, the ESGs, the carbon taxes, the vaccine passports. They admit they're using that for this now. So what have we not harped on enough? Sure, I've had Michael Yawn on, and I've talked about it some, but not enough since the Friday attack. And that is, the Border Patrol estimates several hundred thousand other than Latin American from the Middle East, from Central Asia, the vast majority, upwards of 90%, being military-age men. And we've got countless videos. You've seen them. Should I play them again? In just the last few weeks. And people check the identity of the guy. And he's like, I'm with the Iran National Guard and Hezbollah. And soon we're going to get you. And it goes on and on. Yeah, here, you're going to find out who I am. This guy's with Hezbollah. People were able to scan his face and look it up, and sure enough, it's him. And there's a bunch of these videos. So why has the federal government, since Biden stole the election, done this? What are they planning? The FBI says brace for imminent ISIS attacks. France says brace for them. I've got all the articles right here. And then if they let these attacks take place, how do they then try to not get the political fallout from that? Well, they think we're so stupid that we won't remember that they're the ones that brought them in. So this is a big issue. And I've said for years that after Trump wins in November, before he ever gets to office, they're going to trigger their Islamic groups that have been all pissed off by what Israel's been involved in and that whole thing that's staged on both sides. The evidence is overwhelming. And Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the rest of these groups are going to uprise when he's president-elect and burn the country down. It'll be blamed on Trump. And they'll use some cop shooting or something as the excuse. Oh, people are rioting and shooting and killing because a cop shot, you know, an unarmed black man. You know the pre-programming. And then the Democrats, months after I predicted this, or years after I did, have said, oh, we want to strip Trump preemptively, that they've introduced legislation. That's a coup by Congress. That's a constitutional crisis over the executive branch. So Trump can't ever invoke the Insurrection Act that George Herbert Walker Bush last invoked during the LA riots in 1992. So they're pre-positioning this, and then the federal judge rules, an Obama appointee that rules against citizens owning guns, and who rules for red flag laws to have your guns taken without due process. She says illegal aliens that came here illegally that have criminal records, they can have guns, they can buy guns, they can carry guns. That was a week and a half ago. Oh, and by the way, illegal aliens, the senators and congressmen have said, they're going to make up our new military. They're going to make up our new police. It's hard to believe they're really preparing a Red Dawn scenario, but that's what the evidence overwhelmingly points to. And it's delusional, and it's not going to go well, and it's crazy, but nevertheless, they are doing it. So this is bigger than just changing congressional apportionment. This is different. This is not, that's only a subset of their goals and why they've done this and their motives, to get all these new blue congressional seats in already blue cities that they're packing full of illegals. Because even if they don't vote right away, which many of them do, Democrats have legalized it in most blue cities. Total fraud. Where's the Supreme Court? Where's the Justice Department? But they're doing it. But they get it automatically in congressional apportionment via the census, which is coming around again. So this is going down, ladies and gentlemen. And the illegals are wearing Biden shirts, are saying, F America, we're coming here to squat in your houses, we're coming here to rob you. And the crime wave is insane. Then the FBI hides the crime statistics. It's an amazing time to be alive. And George Soros lets the criminals, with all the DAs he controls, attorney generals, out of jail. He prosecutes people that defend themselves. Something like 30% of retail stores have closed the last 3 years because of the crime wave, from Walmart to Target to Walgreens to mom and pops. It is going down. Asymmetrical warfare, homeless everywhere, hundreds of thousands a year of fentanyl deaths. The globalists administratively cutting off our energy supplies, attacking our families, devaluing our currency, massively raising taxes. All of it is meant to throw a wet blanket on the country, and they think we'll be dumb and accept their new global cashless society as the answer to get us out of it, and they brag that's the plan. Comprende? Do people understand this? Do you comprehend it? I think you do. But I want to explain to you, I'm not an alarmist. I get physically upset when I, every few days, because I talk a lot and say a lot, I'll catch a big mistake I made, and I'll come and tell you when I made it. I am totally dialed into wanting to tell the truth. These people lie on purpose. And so I don't want to get up here and say alarmist things just to be alarmist. But alarmism is good when it's to warn somebody, like you're a neighbor, and you get up to go to the bathroom at 4 a.m., and you look across the street and see fire shooting out of your neighbor's garage. You first call your neighbor and say, hey, Bob, get you and your wife and kids out of the house. Your garage is on fire. And the next call you make is to 911. Maybe you call 911 first. The 911 makes you sit on hold for a while and ask you 100 questions. I would call my neighbor first, then I call 911. Then I'd leave the house. If they didn't come out, go bang on their door. I'd expect my neighbor to do that for me. So I believe, and I know, with all this bizarre, over-the-top behavior and how the globalists are desperate, that it's in the cards and it's in their battle plan, and they are seriously considering activating leftist, communist, Islamist forces in this country. And then you go, well, that's great, Alex. You're pro-Israel then. You want to kill them all. Israel stood down. Biden gave Iran $6 billion a month before they launched the attack. At the higher globalist levels, this is all being staged. Doesn't mean real Israelis didn't die. Doesn't mean the attacks weren't real. Doesn't mean real Palestinians died. Doesn't mean innocent children didn't die. They did. It's real for those of us dying on the ground. But up above it, it is administrative destabilization and operation chaos, which the globalists admit is their plan. So I know that they've got an array of weapons pointed at us politically, culturally, economically, spiritually. They're firing them all at us. But they've got the big gun of major terror attacks and uprisings ready. Let's put up back on the board, how long to the election, please? So I have prayed about this. I have spent hundreds of hours researching it. Sometimes I sit in a room in a chair for 2 hours thinking about this, completely focused so that I do not steer you wrong. And I think folks know that I'm one of the most accurate people who is public. There are a lot of other smart people that aren't public that know what's going on. They're just not a talk show host. But God put me in this position. I don't think you need me to tell you this. I think all of you see this as well. But I'm here to tell you, I 100% know that currently this is an operational plan that they've got already rolling. And at a certain point, they won't be able to turn it back because they're useful idiots that they're going to have to pre-program for several months before the uprising. Like the useful idiots they used on the Russia attack last week. So I would say with 224 days left, we've got about 100... We got about 160 days to stop this. To get such a buzz going that we understand the enemy game plan, that we know what they're up to. All right, we got to go to break. Time's gotten away from me. All right, I'm going to come back at the number out. We're going to play the clips and cover all this. Please stay with us.
And as I said in Kyiv 3 weeks ago, this supplemental funding will ensure Putin faces some nasty surprises.
Before camouflaged gunmen opened fire on concertgoers in the massive music complex, Crocus City Hall, just west of Moscow, Amir Whiteman, a prominent member of Israel's ruling Likud party, went off the rails as Whiteman claimed that Russia will pay the price for its alleged support of Hamas and other proxies.
I understand this is a Russian propaganda, but you have to be very careful because let me tell you, we're going to finish this war. We're going to win because we're stronger. After this, Russia will pay the price. Believe me, Russia will pay the price. Russia is supporting the enemies of Israel. Russia is supporting Nazi people who want to commit genocide on us. And just Russia will pay the price. My people has been slaughtered by your proxies and you will pay the price. Is it clear?
I don't think it is clear.
Very, very, very sternly.
I don't think it is clear, Mr. Whiteman, and I would suggest it should be clear
to you, because you have to understand that actions have got consequences. And when people support murder of Jews, people pay the price. This is true in Gaza. This is true everywhere else. The time that Jews actually have no power to defend themselves is done, is gone. I tell you frankly, the public opinion in Israel has changed. We are not now where we were 10 days ago.
And apparently the U.S. intelligence apparatus had foreknowledge. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. embassy in Russia warned that extremists had imminent plans for an attack in Moscow. The warning was issued several hours after the FSB said it had intervened on a Russian synagogue by a terrorist cell of Sunni Muslims of the Islamic State.
So seen, hopefully you saw our state, the State Department, our embassy there. Put out a notice to all Americans in Moscow to avoid any large gathering, concerts, obviously shopping malls, anything like that, just for their own safety. They should stay put where they are and stay plugged into the State Department for any additional updates and information. I'm afraid that's really all I have on that. Now, on Ukraine.
Did the U.S. have prior knowledge of this attack in Moscow, given that the U.S. embassy had issued warning beforehand?
I'm not aware of any advance knowledge that we had of this terrible attack.
On March 8th, the embassy warns of imminent attack in Moscow by extremists.
Yeah, I think that I'll let the State Department speak to that, I think, but I don't think that was related to this specific attack.
The New York Times article talked about the fact that the CIA has been training the nationalist groups in Ukraine with this guy Budenov and others. He's the CIA's man in Ukraine. And you're seeing the videos, by the way. McCain was a huge part of this. Lindsey Graham was a part of this at the time. There were Republicans and Democrats both going in. Everyone was dipping their beaks into Ukraine.
Hey, by the way, slow down, Jack, because we have limited time.
The point of Operation Gladio 1.0 and 2.0 will be the same. It's not just about... So, number one, it's about conducting provocations in order to try to destabilize a region. I'm talking about false flag attacks. But we're also talking about attacks that they can blame on the Russians.
The attackers at the Crocus Music Hall used explosives and automatic weapons. Some remain trapped inside with their victims as the fire spread. Adding to the chaos, ISIS has claimed responsibility. Was it yet another willful decision from the O'Biden administration?
So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
Кто выяснил, что в другом месте чуть-чуть начнет больше платить. Они там туда перетекут.
The odd events surrounding this massacre will definitely play out as the days roll on and the true players surface. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
We're posting both John Bound and Greg Reese's excellent reports at Real Alex Jones right now. I'll be back with the rest of the story, your phone calls, and a special guest. Please stay with us. We have a special guest next hour, so I probably only have time to take 7-8 calls. So that's all we're going to take, put them on the board. But if you want to respond to the open border, the terror threat, what happened in Moscow, the Trump cases, it's a free-for-all. Any subject you want to raise, we'll take the first 7-8-9 calls that get into the board. 877-789-2539, 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-2539. First-time callers, long-time callers, it's open, 877-789-ALEX. Okay, so what we know is Biden collapsed Afghanistan, gave $86 billion of weapons to all different these Islamic groups. ISIS-K is over there. Israel on record, along with Obama, helped found ISIS, just played the clips earlier. And now we're told brace for imminent attacks, massive numbers of Islamic-age men coming into the country. And here's the Mexican president, Obrador, demands $20 billion a year from the United States, from Mexico, and other Latin American countries to, quote, solve the root causes of the border crisis. But he also wants us to legalize all the illegal aliens here. That's basically Biden's official globalist open border policy as well. Here's the clip.
With the ear of the White House, President Lopez Obrador proposed his fix, that the United States commit $20 billion a year to poor countries in Latin America and the Caribbean, lift sanctions on Venezuela, end the Cuban embargo, and legalize millions of law-abiding Mexicans living in the U.S.
If they don't do the things that you've said need to be done, then what?
The flow of migrants will continue.
Your critics have said what you're doing or what you're asking for to help secure the border is diplomatic blackmail. What do you say?
I'm speaking frankly. We have to say things as they are. And I always say what I feel. I always say what I think.
And he's a socialist, and he's being honest about it. He works for the globalist. He's holding us hostage. Now, here's Representative Democrat Jamie Crockett saying Governor Abbott needs to stay in his lane.
Really just not that complicated. It's just a matter of telling Greg Abbott that he needs to stay in his place. And if he wants to practice federal enforcement of immigration law, then maybe he should run for president of the United States. But until then, he is a governor in the state of Texas, and this is not state jurisdiction.
Well, she needs to read the Declaration of Independence and read the Constitution. All power is derived from the people, 10th Amendment. And the government's there to serve us. So when the government's derelict in its duty and actually supercharges the importation of all these military-age men, it is our right and duty, not just the Texas government, but the people, if Texas won't do it, to do it. That's what the Supreme Court just ruled last week, and that's all being battled over in court right now. All right, next up is Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens. So far this fiscal year alone, we have people from 160 countries or more coming across our border illegally. That's since October. The next clip we'll plan back to back. Border Chief sounds the alarm. Border security is a big piece of national security. Think so? And if we don't know who's coming into our country, we don't know what their intent is, what the threat is. Here it is.
We met migrants from Peru, Ecuador, Nepal, Burkina Faso, Mauritania. How are people from Nepal and Africa coming here?
So far this fiscal year alone, we've had people from 160 countries or more come across our border illegally. This is a global issue. We have people literally from all points across the globe making that same journey, and they're using smuggling routes. Every country and every region has smugglers that try and facilitate a pipeline for them to get to where they're going, and they're connected with one another. So they may, if they're coming from Europe or they're coming from Asia, they'll find ways to get to maybe South America, and then from South America, then they may make their way up through the Darien Gap and make their way up through Central America, and ultimately find their way to decision points that take them to different points along our borders, depending on what smuggling organization that they're using.
Are you concerned about that, about the potential dangerous people or potential terrorists who may be infiltrating the country because you are so focused on processing asylum seekers, families, and others who are in distress?
Absolutely. That's you ask any law enforcement officer, especially somebody that works in border security, that is what keeps us up at night. We're closing out on a million entries this fiscal year alone. That number is a large number, but what's keeping me up at night is the 140,000 known gotaways.
That is not part of that tally.
That is not part of that tally, and that's just what we know.
Is that a national security risk?
That is a national security threat. Border security is a big piece of national security, and if we don't know who is coming into our country and we don't know what their intent is, that is a threat, and they're exploiting a vulnerability that's on our border right now.
And Obama federal judges say, give the illegal aliens guns and make them our military. Senator Tom Cotton, quote, told Fox News, I am deeply worried about ISIS from Afghanistan will end up targeting Americans sooner rather than later with the weapons they got from Biden. War correspondent Michael Yon warns Russia-style terror attacks coming to America. Reports on Infowars.com. Americans brace for Russian-style terror attacks amid border invasion. France raises alarm and terrorism threat. France raises terrorism threat level. And it just goes on from there. Meanwhile, we learn Ukraine likely had prior knowledge of Moscow terror threat. Ukraine bar mocks deadly Moscow concert hall. Calls fried chicken fried Russians at the Crocus Theater. Totally disgusting, ladies and gentlemen. So we are in such a dangerous position right now, and they're heating everything up for the possible, which I believe imminent, re-election of President Trump despite all the election fraud because of such an overwhelming landslide that almost all the intel shows. So that's the information on that front. I want to hit a few other stories on that angle. Then I'm going to go to your calls. Then I'm going to hit the cancer rates exploding. They admit they are. And it ties into Kate Middleton. Over 200,000 deportation cases dismissed after Biden regime failed to file required paperwork. Why do you think they give them dates on average 7 years in the future to show up to their asylum court cases? Disgraceful. Senate Democrats unanimously vote against spending package amendment to stop Biden amend from using taxpayer dollars to fly illegals into America from around the world, not just the ones that come across the border. And it goes on and on. More murders. Missouri father says he collapsed in grief after finding his 24-year-old daughter bloody corpse in the bathtub after her child, 4, beaten unconscious. Man, 22, pleads guilty to murder illegal alien. And it goes on and on. Desperate Biden considers nuclear option on border invasion. Fears upsetting Dems. He may act like he's going to control the border last minute before the election. Chileans arrested in Orange County, California suburb, days after LAPD forms task force to stop home invasions. Desperate and dangerous. The very worst of Latin America being dumped on us. Okay. I'm going to go to your phone calls. Then I'm going to hit the Kate Middleton news. And so much more coming up. Let's go ahead and go to your phone calls. We'll go in the order they were received. Jennifer in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to talk about the eclipse that's coming up on April 8th. And, you know, Oklahoma has those National Guard units with the nuclear and chemical units that are going to be there. And just wondering if you thought that there was going to be a false flag or an EMP or any kind of risk like that. And also, if you would keep your daughter home from school that day, just if there's a high risk of something happening or what your view is on that.
Well, look, the feds are controlled the top by bad people. So they take anything they see being hyped up online, and whether it's in Texas or other states, are preparing civil unrest proposals. They're saying there's going to be crowds of people everywhere to see the eclipse. We had a total eclipse just last year. I took photos of it, posted it on my wife's X account. I sat there and watched it. So the people are hyping this up. I'm not saying something won't happen, but it's kind of like I get asked everywhere, what about the red heifer? Yeah, there's an Israeli prophecy in the Old Testament that after the temple's destroyed, they've got to sacrifice a red heifer near the where the temple was destroyed to then rebuild it. And so there's people love all this esoteric stuff, red heifer, eclipses. All it is the moon in front of the sun, and it's going to start in West Texas and kind of go across and then go out over the tip of Louisiana into the Gulf of Mexico. And it's a fascinating thing to see. But, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, if your daughter's going to public school, I'd take her out. It's better not to even be there. So I don't know where your daughter goes or what they do. But just seeing the media and the government say, look out for crowds. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of square miles in populated areas where this is going to go over, where this will be visible. So to me, it just seems like they're seizing on something to hype up fear. The fear is the open borders. The fear is the millions of illegals that have come in, many of them from the Middle East and Central Asia. But I do find it very curious that the feds are hyping this up and warning of terror attacks during it. So just like the State Department warned of theater attacks in Moscow 2 weeks before, maybe they do have something big planned and want to go, oh, look, we warned you. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. It's my son. He's in a charter school, but he's 45 minutes away. And so I just, you know, I kind of feel like I'm just going to keep him home because it's just, even if it's just the traffic and it takes 5 hours to get to him. I don't want to deal with that. But
well, I think the eclipse lasts like an hour. But yeah, do what your motherly instincts, what your gut tells you. I'm not, Jennifer, going to say what I think is going to happen during this. I think it's another psyop. But we will definitely see, won't we?
I guess we will.
Thank you so much for the call.
And you'll tell us if you...
Thank you. All right, Michael in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What's going on, Alex?
Good, brother. Go ahead.
Hey, you kind of touched on it just a second ago, just with the red heifer. Well, I guess red heifers. But Passover is the 22nd of April. We got Easter coming up here in a minute. Do you think this could all just be a pretext? Because they say they want to blow up the Temple Dome, and this ritual hasn't been done for 2,000 years. So I'm just feeling there's going to be intense violence within these next couple weeks. And I just kind of want to get your perspective on that.
Well, things are definitely building towards a crescendo, and I've gotten different reports out from the Israeli, Orthodox Jewish group that plans to sacrifice these heifers sometime in mid-April, because they've got to be, I guess, 5 years old for the prophecy to come true. But they've still got to then get rid of the Alaska Mosque to do that. So, yeah, a lot of stuff is building towards the middle of April. But, again, this stuff comes and goes. We're constantly hearing about the end of the world. I get accused of saying we're having the end of the world. I don't think that's the case. I guess you called in about Israel, holy wars incoming. So give us your take.
Well, just the world in general. It's like you said. It's all being designed, and it's just sad that nobody, majority of Americans, they just want to just plug out, plug into their Meta, just go into Netflix, smoke their weed, and they don't care. They've never been in a real hardship ever. So it just sucks that this is the position that the majority of the population's in.
Well, they're in a hardship being hit by GMO, 5G, poison shots. and so much more, but they don't think they are because they statistically can't look around and see all the death happening. But I tell you what I'll do. I've already sent the crew in the last month probably 15 clips about the Red Heifer and all this stuff. So I'll get my notes together, and I will do an hour tomorrow on the eclipse and on the Red Heifer, because I can get a huge audience to tune in listening to that, and then I'll intersperse some real news and real stuff that's going on in between it. And I'm not blaming you for bringing up the Red Heifer. I brought it up before you did. It's just that I was at the gas station last night, was asked about the Red Heifer twice. My wife had one of her friends over for dinner, who is an older lady, really nice, professional, very successful woman, wealthy woman. And she was bringing up the Red Heifer and the eclipse. I had people this morning ask me about it. So we will do the deep dive on the eclipse and the Red Heifer tomorrow. Thank you so much, Michael. All right, let's go ahead now and go to who's up next here. Joe in New Mexico. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a veteran. I served in Afghanistan. You speak on that a little bit. But I wanted to speak on last year. I was in Juarez, and, you know, down there quite often. And I asked my buddy, like, what are all these people doing standing around, man? Like, and he pretty much told me that, you know, at night people are going to try to cross the border. So this was last year, you know. I was seeing that with my own eyes. You know, that whole situation is really crazy that's going on with the border.
But when you try to fly, they want to put you in a body scanner and grab your genitals.
Well, yeah. Every time I fly, I refuse the scanners because in the Air Force, they call them meat gazers. So I'd just rather take a pat down. And I try to be nice about it. And I'm just like, can I have clean gloves? You know, I used to be really irritated. But that was 20 years ago when I was in the military. And now I just kind of, you know, this society's crazy. I just look at people, their daily lives, and they don't know what's going on. And, you know, I tried to go into Mexico with my friends, and they treated me like, you know, what are you guys trying to do? But then these people just come across the border. It's like, you got to
have exactly. Everybody else has a border, everybody, but not us. But we're slaves in our own country. It's all part of training us to be slaves, all part of training us to have no rights, all training us to have no territorial instincts. We have territorial instincts because if you don't, you get enslaved.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm here in New Mexico. I'm originally from Virginia, but I like my freedom here. They got really good gun laws, and I keep, you know, my arsenals on standby. You know, I got my buddies, and we're ready for whatever. I mean, I did it for this country, and I'll do it for my family. I'll die for my family for whatever's coming my way. And I feel like something, whatever happens, I'm ready for it, Alex. And people need to get on board.
I don't want to say I'm ready, but I'm trying to be ready. And absolutely, we should all be trying to be ready because we are in dangerous times. Major global changes are happening. We've reached a critical point. We're at a crossroads. Thank you so much, Joe, for the call. Trump just went live on the court ruling, cutting his bond in more than half on the kangaroo court event on real estate where he had no jury. Here he is.
Okay, thank you very much. It's a great honor to be with you at 40 Wall Street. And we appreciate you have a lot of press outside, and I think we're going to start before a lot of them come in, which frankly always makes me happy. So, a lot of things happened today. This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference. They are doing things that have never been done in this country before. We've never had anything like it, certainly not at this level, but we've really had nothing like it that I've been able to find. It does happen a lot in third world countries, banana republics. If you look at what we just left, you have a case which they're dying to get this thing started. The judge cannot go faster. He wants to get it started so badly. And there's tremendous corruption. You have Pomerantz, Mark Pomerantz. He was Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Democrat National Committee's lawyer. He worked in Paul Weiss. He walked in and he took over the district attorney's office. Nobody's ever seen anything like that, to prosecute Trump. And then they wouldn't do what he wanted to do, and he goes out and he writes a book long before any decisions were made. He writes a book about it.
And the book gets published, and everybody's reading his book. And the judge said, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you look at Bragg, Bragg had a fit over that. Bragg said, this trial is now dead. We can't do the trial. Well, that was one of the problems, that, and the judge should have allowed that to happen. And you had other instances, like Colangelo. Colangelo is a radical left from the DOJ who was put into the state working with Letitia James, and then was put into the district attorney's office to run the trial against Trump. And that was done by Biden and his thugs also, because they can't win an election because of the borders, because of energy prices, because of inflation, because of Afghanistan, the worst and most embarrassing day in the history of our country. He can't win because of Russia, because of all the problems, because of Ukraine being attacked by Russia. And he can't win because of the October 7th attack of Israel, which he should have never allowed to happen, would have never happened if I were president. Ukraine would have never been attacked if I was president. And you wouldn't have inflation if I was president. We didn't have inflation. So all of these things, so what they do is they do election interference, which is court cases, and let's try and tie him up and let's take as much of his money as possible. I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoren. He ought to be looked at, seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's a fraudulent valuator where he values Mar-a-Lago at $18 million and people say it's worth 50 to 100 times that much, the biggest experts in the business. So he ought to be looked at, and James ought to be looked at, because she tried to get him. She's like the puppet master of the judge. And, you know, our state, this state, is losing tremendous prestige. It's losing its companies. It's losing its people. They're fleeing, and violent crime is flourishing. And we can't have that. We can't have that. No city should have that. And it's happening in other cities, but not with the lawfare. The lawfare that they're doing is incredible. So they could have done this in the case of the trial that we just left, one of the many that are going. Every single one of them is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they think they can get elected. And I think so far it's backfiring, because the people of this country understand it. It's backfiring. But they're being run, and they're running all of these different cases. So ridiculous, the cases. Every one of them is ridiculous. You take a look at any one of them, and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment.
And that's absolutely what this is. He's still live right now. We're going to hit pause on the live feed and come back and finish it and go back to your calls. But if they can get Trump, they can get anybody. And that's the point. And since Letitia James did that big power grab on Trump, they're going after the meat packers, the oil companies. You're like, well, they're the rich people. I don't care. Folks, they're going to go after the select companies they don't control to consolidate power. This is Venezuela-style crap. This is so dangerous. And I know this audience knows that, but our job is to reach people outside this audience, which you're doing, and I commend you. Take the clips that you think are most important. Share them on everywhere. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Google, because this is a war, and people don't realize this is modern war. We're in World War III. It's economic, it's cultural, it's biological, it's spiritual, it's about to get nuclear, hopefully not. Hopefully we can stop it, is the point I was going to make. And we're here. So we'll come back, finish up with Trump, and we're going to cover the press conference because I want to go to your calls. And I got to hit this Kate Middleton with a stomach cancer report, because they admit the cancer rates have exploded. They don't want us talking about this. They're everywhere with TV ads and brochures and the sides of buses. Cancer is normal. Little kids get it. Heart attacks are normal. Little kids get it. Yeah, it's way up. That's normal, too. We're being trained to put up with absolute slavery. I mean, the stuff that Trump's been put through, even if you don't like Donald Trump, it's like Kevin O'Leary says, this is murdering due process. The lawyers, the politicians, the Soros prosecutors are waiting to see if we put up with this. In fact, they're not even waiting. They're already going after companies everywhere. Are we going to sit here and let this happen? I don't know if Americans have enough urgency, though. Even the conservatives and people I know, don't realize how serious this is. I've learned some even more incredible news last night that I don't have time to get into today, but it's just amazing. The enemy's making their move. This is the big one. Here's Trump.
In Florida, Mar-a-Lago. No notice, no nothing. They raided it. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. And we'll see how that all works out in the end. But it's illegal what they're doing. It's criminal what they're doing. And it's never been done before in this country. You can't have an election in the middle of a political season. We just had Super Tuesday, and we had a Tuesday after a Tuesday already. And we had Louisiana the other day, a couple of days ago, and we won in a record number, the highest number ever recorded. But we're in the middle of an election right now, and we're fighting crooked Joe Biden, who's the worst president in the history of our country by far, who's let this country go to hell. The borders, millions and millions of people coming in from prisons, from mental institutions. They're terrorists. Many people coming in from prisons and mental institutions. Think of it. And terrorists are coming into our country. And this guy's just letting them come in by the millions. I think we have 15 million people already. People don't say that. I say it. And I'll bet I'm right, too. So we're going through this weaponization of our government to try and knock out somebody's political opponent. And so far, based on the polls, it's not working at all. The people understand it. We have a man who just ruled they'd like the trial to start in 21 days or something. And I don't know how you can have a trial that's going on right in the middle of an election. Not fair. Not fair. It's not fair at all. He knows that, too. He's a Democrat judge. He wants to do that because they're all trying to damage Trump as much as possible. It's having the reverse effect, but maybe someday it won't. I don't know. But it's having the reverse effect. It's a terrible, terrible precedent, a terrible thing to do. They could have started this when I left office. You could have gone back 3 years, more than that. When I left office, all of these things could have been started, so we wouldn't be quibbling over starting this week or that week or 2 days or 3 days. It wouldn't have mattered. This thing would have been over 2 years ago. They could have started. They should have never started because there's no case. If you read Andy McCarthy's piece, if you read Jonathan Turley's piece, if you read legal scholars all over the world, they say this DA case is a hoax and it's something that shouldn't have. It's not even a crime. They say there's no crime. And there is no crime. So I just say it's a sad day for this country when you have something like this. And remember the words, should have been started 3 years ago if they were going to start it at all. And then you wouldn't be quibbling over what week it's going to end. Days. They're quibbling over days and hours. They wouldn't be quibbling at all. They never started it. And you know why they didn't start it? Because they didn't know I'd be running. And they didn't know how well I'd do. And if I were not running or if I were doing poorly like everyone else has done, because they're all gone, they're all knocked out except for crooked Joe Biden. If I were doing poorly, this wouldn't be happening. None of these trials would have been happening. If I wasn't running, they wouldn't be happening. So it's a sad day in our country in many respects. But the good day is that the appellate division was fair. It's a lot of money still, but the judge is corrupt, in my opinion. He's the most overturned judge. He's been overturned 5 times in this case alone. He ruled against me before he even knew anything about the case. He ruled against me. The whole case was all about damages, and there were no damages. And perhaps you'll get him to tell you about what took place in terms of a settlement negotiation, because those weren't the numbers he was discussing. Those weren't the numbers. It's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And we have to get our country back, and we're going to get our country back. That's what's going to happen. November 5th, I believe, will be the most important day in the history of our country. We'll get these people out of there, and we'll seal up the borders, and we'll, as I say, drill, baby, drill. We'll be drilling. We'll get energy costs down. We'll get rid of the ridiculous electric car mandate so nobody's ever heard of anything so foolish and so stupid. And we'll bring crime back to law and order. We're going to get those words, law and order, back, because our cities are a disaster. Greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and we will abide by that. We'll put up cash or bond very quickly, securities, cash or bond, whatever it is. We'll put it up very quickly, and we'll win the case. Todd, maybe I'll have Todd say a couple of words, and then I'll have... any questions or anything you want to ask, okay? Todd, wherever you may be.
please.
Thank you, President Trump. So as we said in court today, we very much believe that starting this trial in April, or even starting this trial at any point before the election, is completely unfair to President Trump. It's completely unfair to the American people who are evaluating who they want to be the next president. And we're going to continue to, we are going to continue to
fight.
All
right, let's stop right there and go back to your calls. I mean, look, we're here in the middle of a globalist coup. They're pissing all over us, flooding the borders, opening everything up, promoting pedophilia. We have a criminal government that literally hates our guts. Hollywood hates you. The East Coast elites, they hate you, folks. They've been feeding off you for generations, and they literally hate your guts, and they hate everybody else. These are the worst people in the world, predators. And they don't care if they even lose their power down the road to destroy everything. They want to hurt you and your family. And you're like, well, that's psychotic. Yes, you're not a psychotic, so you have trouble understanding what they're doing and how they operate. Okay? So it's that simple. And they're not going to stop until you have a total break with them and realize that you're under attack. I had a very wealthy lady over at my house last night that's friends of my wife and folks. She's very successful. She's like 80 years old. And she starts trying to tell me about this big women's foundation that she's a part of. And I looked it up. It's huge. It's given billions of dollars in the last, 100 years to women's organizations. And it's conservative to help women. It's a big women's sorority, tax-free foundation. And her and her friends are on the board of it. And somehow, by the bylaws, it changed. There's a new board. And I said, let me guess, it's all transgenderism. And everybody goes to critical race theory training. And you're supposed to go raise money for leftist causes. And they've taken it over. And then now they're going to put men in these women's programs. She said, yeah, how'd you know? And I said, it's all Soros. It's all the CIA. It's all the Carnegie Endowment. It's all the big tax-free foundations. They're taking everything over. They're taking it all over right now. The ESGs, all of it. We're under global corporate governance. Now they're just finalizing the ESGs, the social credit scores for you and I that track everything we do in live time with AI. And if you think the deplatforming and all this has been bad now, it's going to be 10 times worse. And a lot of folks go, well, I better just roll over and make my money while I can. That's why you're going to lose everything, is because you have that attitude. Look at this. Bezos X donates $640 million this year, with most going to far-left groups boosting migrant criminals, literally, to let violent criminals out of jail, and trans athletes. It's a damn cult. Okay? So that's how this works. That's how this operates. That's how this is executed. And there's no sense of urgency, because from birth, we have been bred and put in front of the television in diapers, and we're given phones and computers, and we watch Netflix all day, and we live in La La Land. So while the real world goes on around us, we're in fantasy world. And can't take stuff serious. Can't get stuff done. I said I'd hit all the Kate Middleton news, but also promised to go to your calls. Maybe I'll host in the fourth hour today. Hit the Kate Middleton news. It's big on the cancer. But you know, why do people care? The cancer is 5,000% up since the shots began. Hey, it's fun to die, isn't it? I mean, this is serious. This is going down. We're not up here just saying this stuff. We got the New World Order's number. We know how to stop them. But people got to understand, we got the number, we got the goods, we got the enemy attack profile. We could stop them, but people just won't grow up. They won't take it serious. So they're going to GMO you, they're going to 5G you, and they're going to poison inject you, and you're going to die. Because they're psychos, and they want power, and you won't admit you're under attack, so you're dead. It's that simple. I'm not talking to our regular audience. They're hardcore people that care and know what's going on, but I feel so sorry for everybody else. They're just a malaise. People are in a trance. I just pray to God to break people out of their trance. Let's go to Russell in California. Russell, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Thank you for taking my call. Just to let you know, some of my contacts are concerned, and what's going on is that there's going to be a border state pushout of all the illegals, cut off their benefits, throw them out of the hotels and stuff prior to the election. in the event it will confuse voter turnout.
Yeah, I'm not following what you're saying. It's weird. I can hear your voice, but it's like fluctuating, and it's like you're talking through a sock or something.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Is this better?
A little bit better. What are you saying is going to happen?
Okay. According to some of my sources, they are saying that there's going to be a push out of all the illegal aliens, all these free hotels, their credit cards, everything they're being paid to do, they're going to be tossed out on the street. Fish out of water, 7 to 10 million of them. They're going to do this before the election, and they're going to create chaos, as you predicted. But one of the things they're trying, what these people think they're going to do is they're going to try and implicate Trump in another insurrection because, hey, they're going to be deported, right? Hello?
I'm listening to you.
Yeah. So my sources watch for this. They're telling me they're going to limit gun store hours to daytime hours. One of the things possibly grocery
stores. Do me a favor. Can you talk right into your telephone receiver? Like put it right up to your mouth?
Yeah. How's this?
Oh, boy. That's a lot better. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the things they're considering is limiting gun store hours to daytime hours. One of the things that was related is possibly grocery stores limiting hours due to flash mobs. You know, these are the things that they're gearing up for. And like I said, it's two different sources all saying the same thing. It's going to be a fish out of water situation. You're going to have all these people, hungry, homeless, that are going to corrupt the election. Probably two weeks before the election, they're going to cut them off.
Well, that makes perfect sense because that's what martial law is. They don't tell you you're in martial law and real martial law. They just implement it incrementally like the boiling frog until you boil and didn't know it hit you. And they just pulled up an AP article. They're beginning in New York to cut off the government EBTs and the NGO money and kick them out. Exactly what you just said. That makes sense to cause the unrest ahead of time. There it is. Migrants, families begin leaving New York City hotels as first eviction notices kick in. Is that what your sources were telling you?
Yes, sir. And what it is, the media will latch onto this as a second attempt from creating an insurrection.
Well, there it is. I have another headline. Put it back up. Oh, Democratic cities, which we knew was true, it's already happening, are kicking them out now. So they tell them, come here, then they get them all there, then they kick them out. As the federal judges give them guns. I mean, you can't make this up. Great points. Thank you so much, Russell. And I'm not complaining. It's just when the phone fades in and out, and I got to really focus on what you're saying to barely understand it. It pisses me off. Because you're saying great stuff, but when you call in, folks, talk right into the receiver, just right into that phone. Let's talk to Trevor in Arizona. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, so I listen to a lot of talk shows. I love you. I've listened to Mike Adams for a while, Stu Peters for a long time, and everybody's coming speaking against Israel, and it astounds me. They look at it like it's a one-dimensional thing of Israel versus Palestine, and they project, basically. I feel like a lot of times I'm having a hard time stating this, but. If you have to remember, Israel is 0.2% of the world's population, surrounded by hostile actors that want nothing, that they don't even want Israel to exist. And if you look at it, the bad actors are 2 billion people. And so I think a lot of times we project our own values into 2 billion people that probably don't believe the way the average American works. And we're talking about Israel and the Red Heifer. Give them the Red Heifer. Let them have it. Let them have the Third Temple. They're 0.2% of the population, 7.5 million people, surrounded by a bunch of people that don't want the
Jews. No, I mean, I heard that.
And you have to remember.
Yeah, no, I heard that. Israel is working with the globalists, with our own government, to ship the Palestinians to Europe and the United States. Israel is a government. It has different governments, different policies. Israel tried to force shots on their own people. I was against that, not because I'm against Jews. And so this idea that Israel's a monolith, is and just has to be supported no matter what. I'm not here to talk about what Mike Adams or somebody else says on their show. Okay, I catch some of the clips of their show, read their articles, think it's informative. So I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm here saying I don't like what Hamas did, but why did Israel stand down? Something else is going on, and now they're going to push them all the way into southern Gaza and then blow them up, and that's going to be on TV. That A, I don't want to kill those innocent people. B, that is going to absolutely look horrible. So you can say, oh, the Jews in Israel are 8 million people or whatever. Well, what about the 1.5 million Palestinians? They're people too. And I don't think year-old babies deserve to be bombed. I would not want my own government to do that. So I don't want the Islamists coming here. I'm against that. But I'm also against Israel trying to ship them here. That's being talked about. So criticizing the policies of an Israeli government, I criticize the policies of the British government. I don't blame the British people on average. Like Xi Jinping, I hate communist China. I'm not blaming the Chinese people on average. Does that make sense to you?
It does, and I completely get that. But if you look at it, the Palestinian, I mean, it's a forward operating base for hostile actors like Iran, just to stage constant terror attacks. I mean, what would America do if they had?
Oh yeah. So why did Biden give him? Why did Biden give him $6 billion a month before? Answer my question. Who in Israel stood down? There was a 7-hour stand down. Israel's an armed camp. No helicopters. No armored vehicles. No nothing. What was that?
I mean, I don't know if there was a stand
Israel's got the best military. They've got the best special forces. I don't know if that's true, but they're certainly not incompetent. They're certainly some of the best. But magically, we're not supposed to talk about that because we're pro-Israel. No. This is a bigger play for global destabilization. So I'm pulling above the Palestinians and the Israelis and trying to actually see what the hell's going on here.
I think the bad actors are the New World Order that wants, basically, they're motivated by money and power. But then you have to look at a large portion of the world, 2 billion people, and a huge portion of them believe that violence is appropriate if it's against their religion. I feel like we know who the hostile actors are. And I feel like people are looking at the Israel conflict very one-dimensionally. They're a tiny little tiny country.
I heard the tiny country thing. Thanks for the call. You said it 3 times. That's enough. I got to get to other callers. Look, something stinks with October 7th. I don't support Hezbollah that was funding Hamas. I called it out. I said it was wrong. And then Israel says, oh, we're just going to blow up the north of Lebanon, move south. Then they blow up the north, and they say move them. Then they say we're going to blow up the middle, now move the south. Now there's nowhere for those people to go. They're hemmed in by the sea and 70-foot barbed wire fences with Egypt and an Israeli wall. So they don't have anywhere to go, and I don't buy into Netanyahu invoking the Old Testament saying kill the men, women, and children and their animals. That's not what I support. I don't want to get rid of Israel. I'm not against Israel. I understand Israel's going nowhere. They got thousands of nuclear weapons. Israel's not my thing. I'm not obsessed with it all day long. I am just not going to sit here as a U.S. taxpayer and say that I support hurting 1.5 million people into the ocean like Pharaoh tried with the Jews with Ramses II at the Red Sea. Okay? That is horrible optics, and it's wrong morally. That's wrong. And so I'm against it. And so if all the crazy people now if the ADL wants to attack me, just do it. I don't care. Okay? And I'm not trying to choose sides with all the pro-Islam, crazy white supremacist lunatics as well. They hate me too. Good. Hate me. I'm going to stand on what's moral, and that's it. We got a special guest coming up here, but I want to continue with your phone calls. Kurt in New Jersey on the Israel war. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Alex. Hey, it's completely obvious what happened on October 7th. They stood down to create the reason that they could go into Gaza and try to kill 2 million people. That's exactly what they're doing.
But my job is not to defend Israel or Hamas or Hezbollah, is to get the truth. That's my job is so easy. I don't have to worry about being attacked because I will be attacked. I don't have to worry about, all I have to worry about is being right in front of God. And Obama, that's Biden, sent $6 billion a month before to Iran. I said Hezbollah was behind it. They later bragged about it. Then Biden defends Hezbollah. Israel doesn't bring up Hezbollah. So there's a stand down. There's a backroom deal with Iran to fund the attack. And then all this goes on. There's a bigger picture here is what I'm saying.
And you were talking about that disgusting rabbi, Shmuley Boteach. He used to go on the Howard Stern show and do disgusting talking about disgusting sex topics back in the 90s and all that. That guy is a literal demon. You can see it when you watch the videos of him. I just watched a video of him with doing a debate with Piers Morgan the other day, defending the genocide. And I wanted everybody should take on the term genocide deniers and play the language game that they do with us with Holocaust denier and climate deniers.
I am not a genocide denier. And if the Jews were being bombed by a high-tech enemy and were being pushed into the ocean and being killed, I'd be against it. This is just wrong.
Absolutely. And I got a point on World War II that I've heard you say many times that it's complete bull, that Hitler, when the war started going down the drain, and Germany was losing the war, that Hitler commanded to kill all the Jews and all this bullshit.
I appreciate your call, man. Look, I'm not going to defend Hitler. I'm going to throw up. I'm actually done major historical research. I've actually read the writings of Hitler. His secretary, all of them have talked about it. He issued the final solution order in 1943, and the German Central Command General Staff said, we need the resources to beat the Russians. He said, I don't care. Kill them. So to deny that Hitler was exterminating people, you can debate how he did it or where he did it or what numbers. It's just, I'm done. Hitler killed like 8 million Poles, too. 26 million Russians died fighting the Nazis. I don't support the Nazis. I don't like their Hugo Boss uniforms. I don't think it's sexy and cool. And that's what this is all about. I'm not with all the behavior that Israel's involved in, and I'm also not with all the Hitler's a great guy stuff. I'm just done. When Kanye West was here a year ago, all he could do was repeat how much he loved Hitler over and over again, like he was a robot. And now he's a big Christian. Meanwhile, he's out there with his wife's ass hanging out everywhere. It's all a bunch of craziness. And to me, it's two different brands of evil. All right? And I'm done. So it's easy for everybody to be very tribal and pick which group you're going to be part of. All right? I'm not for Israel and the things it's doing. And I'm not for the Muslims and what they're doing. But I don't believe little children in the Gaza Strip deserve to be carpet bombed. And it's wrong. They went, Jones called for carpet bombing. You know, no. I said, hypothetically, Israel shouldn't go in. It's a globalist trap. And it's going to end up destroying Israel. But I said, if they were going to go in, they got a carpet bomb all the way through it to get Hamas. Went, he said carpet bomb. No, I said a war game. Just like I've war game Russia and the U.S. having a nuclear war and what Russia may do. It doesn't mean I support nuclear war when I get up here and I war game a nuclear war. So this is all out of control, ladies and gentlemen, and it needs to stop. There needs to be a ceasefire in Gaza, and there needs to be a ceasefire, and there needs to be a peace deal in Ukraine. That's my opinion. That's what I believe. If you disagree, that's fine. We'll be right back. All right, Hala Jaber is an award-winning, six-time award-winning former senior correspondent for the Sunday Times and author of books on Hezbollah and Iraq. She's at X under her name. We'll put that lower third under her. And I was on an X Spaces with some folks over the weekend that reached millions of people, and I thought she was articulate. So I thought we'd give her perspective. I believe she's joining us from north of Israel in Lebanon, and she wants to talk about Gaza and the unfolding genocide. And, guys, let's put up the U.S. definition of genocide. And when I tweeted this last week, and it got literally 50 million views on X or more, I noticed the totally pro-Israel crowd said, oh, but we don't follow U.S. law. Well, it's international law. Israel supposedly is against genocide, but genocide means directly trying to wipe out a religious or cultural group, either partially or fully. In fact, let's pull up the definition under U.S. law or pull up my original tweet for people. Genocide is the intentional destruction of a people in whole or in part. In 1948, the United Nations Genocide Convention defined genocide as any of five acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group. And so I could play these clips of Israeli TV saying, and Netanyahu invoking the Old Testament to wipe out men, women, and children. And it's one thing to go kill Hamas. It's one thing to try to get the hostages. It's another thing to just start in the north and all the way just destroy everything. I said that's the only way they could not have huge casualties would be to level the whole place. But I said they shouldn't do that. That was a war game describing what Israel could do. And I said with Steve Bannon and Eric Prince, they shouldn't do that. But that was back in October, days after it happened. Now here we are, and Israel is destroying itself in public opinion worldwide. I would say the ratio everywhere is at least 90% against Israel. So we've reached a tipping point, and you've got people running around saying, if you were against any of this, then you're a horrible person. And that's only making people get more pissed. Because I know my audience, and I know me. We're not Israel-focused. That's not our main focus. We're focused on prosperity and Western values in America. But when you come out and say, hey, it's wrong to say just kill everybody, well, you're an anti-Semite. No. I'm against genocide. And in fact, those Muslims, those Palestinians are Semites. So, Hala, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've got a lot of information. What is your overall view on this? And with the announcements, they're now going to push everybody into the ocean and take out the final areas in southern Gaza. What this is going to look like and how the world is going to see this. We had the Israeli spokesperson say last Wednesday, he doesn't care if the whole world turns against Israel, including America. And so as bad as Biden is, he's even been balking in this, saying this will be a PR disaster for Israel, not to mention all the innocent people that die. Imagine the images of refugee tent camps being bombed by drones and aircraft and missiles. I mean, if you wanted to demonize yourself, you could not do a better job, in my view. So what is going on, do you think, in the at least the Israeli leadership? We know Netanyahu is in power with 20% of the vote with the parliamentary manipulation. I don't want to say he speaks for everybody in Israel. Israel has nuclear weapons, even if I hated Israel, which I don't want to get rid of Israel because it'll be the end of the world. This is a very dangerous moment. What is your expert view on this?
I mean, let's concentrate on what's going on in Gaza. Israel at the moment is conducting a genocide, whether it accepts that definition or that accusation or not. The fact of the matter is they have literally destroyed everything in Gaza. They have destroyed hospitals, schools, residents. They have galvanized it to basically rubble. There is, as of 10 days ago, UN organizations estimated that there's 5 tons of rubble currently in Gaza, which will take years and years and years to clear. They have made a city of 2.4 million uninhabitable. They have killed over 40,000 people. There's about 10,000 under rubble that we know of. And the estimates are expected to be much higher than what we're actually saying now. Amongst those 40,000, there is about 15,000 children, babies, toddlers that have been slaughtered. And many women, about 70% of the toll are civilians. And so Israel is determined basically either to wipe out the Palestinians or to get rid of them. You know, as you said, push them out of Gaza into other countries. Now, that particular point is not going to happen because there is a determination amongst all the Arab world, and in particular the neighboring countries with Gaza, both Jordan and Egypt not to accept that. In other words, Israel cannot push the Palestinians into Sinai in Egypt or into Jordan, although that is Israel's hope. And there are plans by Israelis that talk about it in public, in the open, that they would like to regain Gaza and turn it into some, you know, beautiful coastal resort that is part of Israel, but without the Palestinians. So if that is not genocide, I don't know what is.
Well, why do we see the extreme arrogance by people like Jared Kushner saying, well, there's nothing left of Gaza anyways. We're just going to take it over and build oceanfront property. It's like they're trying to act like villains. I don't understand this.
Yes, they are. And the fact that Israel is doing all this and continues to do all this and has been doing all this is because it has had total blind support by the U.S., by the U.K., by France, by Germany, and the Western world, the main Western countries. So as long as they support it, you know, they pay lip service every now and then by saying, you know, there are too many casualties, casualties should not be happening, Israel should be more careful in how it's conducting itself. But then they go on about Israel having the right to self-defense. Now, self-defense is one thing, but that does not mean it's an open license to kill and murder, which is exactly what Israel has been doing. And it's been doing it because the United States, first and foremost, has allowed it to do it. While it pays lip service, on the other hand, it is continuing with the shipments of arms, without which Israel would not be able to conduct what it's conducting in Gaza. So let's not forget that every country that has supported Israel is actually complicit in what has been happening in Gaza and to the Palestinian people. Gaza now is literally uninhabitable. Self-defense does not mean bombing every single university, not even bombing. I mean, bringing it down, wiping it out. Mosques, hospitals, it's making sure that this piece of territory will be uninhabitable, cannot be habitable in the future when the dust settles and when this war that has been launched is over.
Well, let's speak to that. I want to continue with that, but let me just make just a layman's perspective here. Watching those obvious teenagers walk in the middle of a road towards the Israelis with no weapons and being vaporized by drone missiles was like watching somebody with a magnifying glass frying ants or someone pulling the legs off a grasshopper. I mean, that's why I said robotic genocide. It's like Mars attacked and we're watching aliens blow up U.S. cities. It's this archetypal defenselessness that okay, some people went and did some bad things to Israel. Great, get them. But this idea that a whole people are to blame, that is the definition of genocide. I cannot be part of this. I just can't imagine what's going on in Israel. From your research, do you think the average Israeli supports this?
Look. What happened on a lot of Israelis at the moment want for the Israelis to conduct or to carry on with this war. A lot of them also are actually quite upset and are distancing themselves from the amount of deaths in the Palestinian territories. I mean, amongst the Palestinians. But the majority actually really think that what has happened is not enough so far, and that more should continue. So the population at the moment is backing this military offensive. I don't know how much, the point is, Alex, is how much are they seeing in as far as the destruction and the mayhem and the death that is accumulating in Gaza. And they have been geared to think that, you know, October 7th happened, and that was one of the biggest attacks against Israel, they call it, since the Holocaust, or the largest numbers of Israeli killed since the Holocaust. And they've been sort of made to think, you know, the narrative has been thrown that this is like, you know, if it's allowed, there will be another Holocaust happening against the Israelis, against the Jews, if you want, right? Even though this is not a war about Jews, this is a war with Zionists. This whatever is going on is because you have an elite that is running Israel that are purely Zionists, and they are determined to wipe out the Palestinians. And
let me give them a message. What the ADL and the Israeli leadership are doing is turning people against Jews in general, which I do not support. I want to be 100% clear. I don't like Hitler. I don't like anti-Semitism. I don't like any of this, okay? And I'm not a big fan of importing Islam into the West. I don't think it fits or works. I'm very clear about where I stand, but watching the stuff on Israeli national television saying, quoting the Bible, we're going to kill all of them, including the children, I don't think the average Jew worldwide or just the public realizes this has turned the whole war against people. So if you wanted a danger of a new Holocaust, you're creating it. And I am seriously concerned about the aftermath. Already, this has devastated world opinion of Israel. And I'm not Israel's watchdog. I don't work for Israel, but also, you know, don't want a bigger crisis there. They got nuclear weapons. This is out of control. So I pull back, and I know the Israeli leadership's not stupid. And they've got their spokespersons out deliberately saying, these are animals, we're going to kill their children too. Why the hell, if you're going to kill the children, that's bad enough. Why would you brag about it? I mean, this is just, I look at this, and I'm somebody who's trying to stay out of this, but I morally cannot be part of this.
Well, because they're arrogant, and because they've been allowed, and because they know that no one will stop them. Let me put it to you this way, Alex. This thing has not been going on since October 7. This has been going on since the birth of the State of Israel. So it's been going on 75 years. The Palestinians have been literally dehumanized for 75 years. They've been thrown out of their country. They've been thrown out of cities and towns. They've been persecuted. They've been killed. They've been maimed. They've been attacked left, right, and center for 75 years. So this whole thing did not start on October 7. So let's make that clear. As far as the Israelis are concerned, and the government in particular, Netanyahu and the government, which is a very right-wing government, they do not want to see a Palestinian state being created. They do not want to see a Palestinian state happening in Israel side by side with the Israelis. So if it's up to them, they would like to get rid of the Palestinians, whether it's to ship them across to other countries or to neighboring countries. They do not want, and they've said it, Netanyahu spoken about Amalek and others, their officials, their ministers, they've all called them, they've called the Palestinians animals, subhumans. When they say, every man, woman, and child should be killed because they do not want a future generation of Palestinians living there. They want to eradicate the Palestinians so that they can then claim the land and live there. This is what they want. Now, this is not to say that because you have also a large sector of the Israelis that are actually the Orthodox Jews, they are saying that this does not represent us. This is Zionism, and Zionism is not it's not Judaism, it's not Jewishness, and they are standing against it. But they do not have the power and do not have the majority. But there is a large sector that is totally against it. As far as the Israelis are concerned, to this day, after 75 years of conducting war, whether it's against the Palestinians or the neighboring, like Lebanon, for example, right? There has not been a single resolution carried out or imposed against Israel. The only resolution that happened, sanctions. There's not been a single sanction that has been done against Israel. The only sanctions are actually four sanctions against a few settlers. That's it. This was this in the last few months.
Hala Jabir, let me ask you this question. What is the timetable for the bombardment of Rafah? For those that don't know, 1.5 million+ people herded into a tiny area, blocked in by huge Egyptian barbed wire fences, 75 feet tall, Israeli walls, and the ocean. And we're going to sit here and watch them carpet bomb tent cities. I mean, my God, you could not create a worse PR disaster. So just because Israel has had nothing but support until now, can they not see that it's totally turned? I mean, this is crazy. So let's war game this, which we're not calling for this. We're not calling for the Israelis to bomb Rafah. We're not calling for nuclear war with Russia. When I war game this, it's a scenario. What happens if the Israelis bombard Rafah and these tent cities? What will the world respond to that with?
First, what will happen is you'll have hundreds of thousands of people killed. That's the first thing, including women and children, innocent women, defenseless, innocent women and children. They'll be murdered, slaughtered, basically. Second, the world, it's been 6 months since this war against the Palestinians has happened. It's been 6 months. It's been actually playing out live on our screens, live on social media. You know, during the Holocaust, the excuse of the Western world was we didn't know. We didn't have the technology we had now. Nobody knew what was going on. And it was, you know, they came to it very late.
But what is their excuse now? Everyone knows. Everybody's watching this line live, including the governments in the US and the Western world and the UK. And they've done nothing after 6 months. So you think that if they do Rafah, you know, the world is going to change. They will only change maybe when 100,000 people are killed in one go. If that's what they want, then that's the only way this is going to end. Now, we know from everything that's come out, from everything we've read and heard from the Americans, is they are actually trying to get Israel not to launch an offensive or to march into Rafah, because they know this will be disaster, okay? However, the Israelis so far keep on saying that no matter what, we are going to do Rafah. So far, Israel has failed. Israel is also acting in anger. It went in assuming, and it was a false assumption and a presumption by itself, that it would go in, it would take a week, it would wipe out Hamas and release the hostages and conduct a military offensive at once, eradicate, as it said, quote unquote, eradicate and terminate Hamas. They went in, Hamas turned out to be much better prepared, and it's 6 months later, the two conditions that Israel wanted are to release, not conditions, the two things Israel wanted to do, achievements, was to release the hostages and eradicate Hamas. 6 months later, it has killed so much and destroyed an entire city, and it has not released any hostages except two, and it has not eradicated Hamas, and it will never be able to eradicate
Hamas. All right,
Hamas.
So Hala, let me ask you, you're making great points.
It's failed in its objective. As long as it fails in its objective, it will continue. It needs, Netanyahu wants to save his face, basically. He wants something to say to his public, to his audience, look, we achieved our goals. So far, he has not achieved anything except create the mayhem that he has.
All right, so that's my next question. I really respect your analysis, and I agree with it. But let's talk Turkey here. And I don't mean Turkey literally. I mean just in general. I've studied the region. It's fascinating. But I'm not an expert like you that's lived here your life and is in Lebanon. But why does Hamas, with Hezbollah support, go into Israel? I know it's a prisoner exchange. I get that. I know a lot of the Jews that were killed was friendly fire. That's been confirmed. Even the Jerusalem Post admits a seven-hour stand down. So clearly, either Netanyahu or someone under him ordered a stand down. We know there was a stand down. Why would Hamas do this, knowing what would happen to them? A, because it doesn't absolve them. And then B, why would Israel stand down? There's some bigger calculation, and I think some weird double dealing, because we know Israel, and again, when I say this, people say I'm anti-Israel. I'm anti-lies. Israel, in 1976, 77, for those who don't know, as you just said, Hala, did not want a legitimate Palestinian authority with hotels and restaurants and beaches. So they put in Hamas to be radical, to discredit all that. And it was very, I want to say Western, but very advanced before all this. We know that. So Israel put in Hamas before. They claim they're trying to destroy Hamas now. They stand down for Hamas to attack. What are you hearing? What's really behind this?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for why Israel did or didn't, but we know that Israel has the most sophisticated equipment, the most sophisticated listening devices, the most sophisticated technology and security apparatus that we know of. So what failure happened on that day, whether they wanted this to happen because this was an excuse for them then to go in and do what they're doing in Gaza, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell for a fact. This is what we're reading, what we're hearing, what we know. Like you said, it took 7 hours before there was intervention. In the meantime, why did Hamas... just let's be clear, Alex. Hezbollah did not go in with Hamas. Hamas did carried out this operation on its own.
No. Hezbollah clearly is working with these groups and giving them training. I think even Iran's bragged about that. But separately, what about Israel being involved in the founding of Hamas?
Well, Israel helped, not so much in founding, it helped in allowing Hamas to develop and be formed and be born and carry on, because it assumed that it wanted Hamas to be in order not to have a Palestinian unity. So as long as Hamas was there, it was trying to weaken the Palestinian Authority, the PA. So it supported Hamas, financed it for a while, in order to weaken the Palestinian Authority, which was the main political party of the Palestinians for years. And it played that role for a while until, you know, Hamas then balked and decided to go its own way because it realized that also, you know, it's under occupation, it's being dehumanized, and it has the right to resist.
No, I mean, I agree with you. It's just like China.
Yeah.
Communist China was a project of the West, but it broke with the West. That's clear. So now Israel is really trying to eradicate Hamas.
That's what they say, but how do you eradicate an ideology? I mean, you might kill some leaders, you might kill a few people, you might kill a leadership, but this is. But there's an ideology, and also it's, you know, it's never built. This is not built vertically. It's built, you know, it's built horizontally. So one leader goes another. I'm going to tell you something else. You have 40,000 people killed. You have children that have watched their parents being slaughtered. You have young men that have seen their wives and their children being slaughtered. What do you think the next Hamas is going to be like? It's going to be much more radical than what we're seeing now. So all Israel has achieved is actually created the next force in the future that's going to go again and attack it, not attack it, resist it, okay, fight back and try to get its freedom. Because bottom line is Gaza is under occupation. Whether Israel agrees to it or not, it's occupied. The West Bank is occupied. You cannot occupy people. It's a 21st century, 2024. Give me one country in the world that's still occupied aside from the Palestinians, that doesn't have a state aside from the Palestinians, that can't even breathe without permission from the Israelis aside from the Palestinians, that can't leave the areas. It's the largest prison on earth. That's what they call it, without Israeli permission. Literally, every move they make has to have Israeli permission. Where else has that happened within the Palestinians?
And all right, Hala, stay there. Let's war game this. Look at different scenarios, depending on what the Israelis do and what's going to happen. If in front of the whole world, men, women, and children are bombed as early as tomorrow. I mean, this is going down, folks. I want to be on record. I am not part of this. I do not support this. Be right back. You know, most people, and I'm not putting people down, this is how they operate. They look at things black or white, or they look at things two-dimensional at most. I try to look three, four, fifth, six-dimensional. In my mind, it's so easy to look at 30, 40 moves. It's easier to look 30, 40 moves than the first move I'm going to make, because that first move affects them all. And I've proven that we know how to look 10, 20, 30 moves ahead. And I understand there's a larger global system using the Palestinian-Israeli conflict for some larger global government operation. But to me, the October 7th was wrong, but then I see the stand down and all the weirdness and Netanyahu not wanting an investigation and the money to Iran and Iran openly training and just all this weirdness. There's back deals like the CIA helping get rid of the Shah and really put in the Ayatollah Khomeini. And then they set up Jimmy Carter with it. I mean, there's a back channels with these Persians and Islamic groups. I mean, they're not stupid. And they're all into triple, quadruple dealing. Let's be honest about that. So I don't lionize the Muslims or what they're doing, but the children I do lionize. And they're good people on average. And the Palestinian people, you watch this footage of them, they have courage and they're beautiful people. And so are the Lebanese people and all these folks. And I'm watching them being murdered, and I cannot help it at a gut level to get pissed off about it. But also, you know, Israeli people are amazing people, too. Seeing them be killed is terrible. But I've been critical, saying Israel shouldn't go in. If Israel would have stepped back and just called for sanctions and called for killing the leaders of Hamas, they would have the world's love right now and incredible support. But instead, okay, first you carpet bomb the north. Okay, you're getting Hezbollah. Then they go deeper, deeper. Now they've got all these women and children cornered at the ocean, like Hitler had the British Expeditionary Force at Dunkirk, cornered at the ocean. When the world turned against Hitler, when he bombed those soldiers cornered at the ocean. This is literally Israel about to commit suicide, seppuku. And people say, well, screw Israel. Well, Israel has nuclear weapons. This is going to push Israel into nuclear war. This is crazy messianic stuff. You've got all these Orthodox groups running around with red heifers and just build the new temple, blow up Al-Aqsa Mosque. They're on ABC News. They're on CBS News. And you've got all these mainline Christian Zionists that want to push the world and control God and trigger revelation by helping the red heifer and the sacrifice and the Alaska Mosque being destroyed, you really think God wants you to read prophecy and then you hasten it? That sounds satanic to me, because we know the first Mahdi, the first Messiah, is the Antichrist. So I'm not going to get into all the angles of this, but my spirit tells me this is evil and I should not support it. I mean, it's very direct, because at the end of the day, I can intellectualize this all day and study it, pour over it. But my gut, my connection to God's most important. My gut tells me this is wrong and this is potential world ending stuff going on. Just like we see going on with Ukraine and Russia and NATO. No matter what side you're on, this is dangerous. This is playing with fire. So Halah, investigative journalist, HalaJaber on X, thank you so much for joining us. I cut you off at the break. We had to take it for stations to join us. Let's war game this. Started to elaborate. We hit the break. What happens? What's the timetable if Israel hits Rafah with these cornered 1.5 million men, women, and children, or more than that? What's 1.8 million? What is going to happen? What is going to unfold from that if that happens? A. B. How do we stop it?
Well, you stop sending weapons.
All right, she's having a Skype problem. She was having it earlier. Reconnect to her. So let's reconnect to her. Again, folks, we have to hear from these cornered people. Does anybody, I don't care if you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, I mean, can you imagine if the Muslims had a cornered 1,800,000 Christians at the ocean and they're bombing them? What that would do? We have to have empathy, folks. And this thing about, oh, let's just carpet bomb the Middle East. The very same globalists have opened our borders and brought all the Islamists into our countries. They're planning to set us up with this. That's my gut. My analysis is the New World Order is going to ally with Islam. They want to completely drive them crazy first and set us up. And that's my view on what this is in the Hegelian dialectic. 10 moves out, 20 moves out. In fact, I know that's their move. So for all you Israel firsters, well, Israel, if you really care about Israel, they shouldn't be part of this. This is destroying Israel's image. Plus, I'm going to criticize Netanyahu hardcore when they try to relocate these people here. All right, we're trying to get HalaJaber back on. There she is on Twitter, very well spoken later there on X. Were we able to get her back? All right, so we're going to get her connected and do that. She's in southern Lebanon, I'm told, so, which is a big war starting there because they got Hezbollah folks embedded there. And this is just a mess. And by the way, if people send me private X messages at Real Alex Jones, I'd love to have Israeli journalists on. I got invited by Palestinian groups and by Jewish groups to go to these areas. And it's not that I'm scared to go there. I'm concerned about the misrepresentation. Because I want to go see what's happening in Gaza. I want to go see what's happening in Israel. Just like I want to go to Russia and cover what's happening there, or go to Ukraine. But you go anywhere, you're then accused of being the thing, and then the story becomes that. But I'll also, in coming days, open the phones up for Israelis to call in and give their take on this, because I legitimately am not the enemy of the Muslims. I'm not the enemy of the Palestinians or the Jews. And I'm so sick of the different camps trying to make me take a side. My side is de-escalating war and living in peace and stopping the globalist program. So that's what I stand for. That's what I believe in. And that's really what I'm trying to get. Hala, you're back with us. You had a little bit of a problem there. You heard all my questions. Go ahead.
Well, the way to stop it is for the U.S. to actually stop sending weapons to Israel. Without those weapons, Israel will not be able to conduct a war in Rafah or a war in Gaza for that matter. Look, Israel is now also starving an entire population. Do you know that people in Rafah are in Gaza are dying of starvation, literally? You have babies, skeletons. I don't know if you're seeing them, Alex. There's about 30 children.
No, I have four children, including three daughters. One's still young. And when I look at these starving children to death, whole war, without formula, without milk, it tears my guts out.
Exactly. And then you have thousands and thousands and thousands of trucks with the humanitarian aid lined up literally across the border. All they have to do is open a gate and let them in. Instead, the U.S. is building a port that's going to take about 2 months to finalize or to finish in order to send, you know, some humanitarian aid or meals, for that matter, to the Palestinians, when you can actually flood it within hours if you open those gates. So this begs the question, why is this port being built? What is the objective? Why are they trying to not send the aid that is desperately needed at the moment and is already available just across the border into Gaza? Instead, they're making all these people wait. In the meantime, people are dying of starvation for a port that we don't even know what the main objective is. I mean, it's supposed to be under the pretext of humanitarian aid and to help the Palestinians. But since, you know, but there's a lot of talk that it's probably more political. It's a way to actually force Palestinians to eventually leave Gaza. They're making the place so uninhabitable that when the end comes, you know, the Palestinians will have no choice but to leave. They're forcing them to leave, basically. So this will be another force displacement, force eviction of a people, of a population from the country.
Won't this be the biggest yet in Israel's history?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Won't this be the biggest displacement since 1947?
It would be the second biggest displacement. Yeah, the 1948 one was large, and this would be even bigger. In 1948, we're talking about 800,000 in those days. But now, if we're talking about 2-something million Palestinians, that's just from Gaza. And if they do that to Gaza, then the Israelis will turn to the West Bank, and they will continue in the West Bank. So there is a plan, basically, to get rid of the Palestinians from these territories.
And by the way, I'm sorry to have to show viewers these images, but you can watch hours of this. Whole wards full of starving children in Gaza. Ladies and gentlemen, this is wrong.
I mean, this is 2024. How can we even accept any child, any human being, any man, woman, to get to that state? There is no excuse. We have trucks of food, of medicines, of everything needed across
the border. I've seen the videos of thousands of huge trucks lined up, and they're not letting them in. Why?
No, Israel is not letting them in because they've said they want to starve the people. It's punishment. It's simple. It's punishment. There's no whys. There's no greater objective. There's no analysis. There's no deep analysis into it.
I was about to say, Hala, let me say this. They're not even looking one step ahead. There's almost 2 billion Muslims in the world, 1.8 billion or whatever it is. Even if they kill all, you know, 2 million Palestinians, that's only going to piss off the entire world, not just the Muslims. So these little 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds being starved to death, their big brothers and sisters watch it. They are producing an army they will never defeat in the future.
No, because usually whenever a group evolves into a future, it evolves, it becomes more radical. If they think that Hamas, you know, they consider Hamas to be bad enough. I mean, what they've done now, what they've done on this particular occasion, this is not the first war they've launched against Gaza, but this is the worst one we've ever seen. And I'm a journalist that has covered a lot of wars, and I've seen my share of horrors. But I have never, ever witnessed what we're witnessing now in Gaza. And I've covered from Iraq to the Palestinian territories themselves in the past, to Lebanon, I can't remember, a lot of places. And this is the worst from what we've seen. And the next group that comes in the future, if this is not resolved properly and a final solution is found for both people, there will be another one in the future, and it will be worse than this, because these people now, what we're seeing is, you know, Palestinians, it's like they will never forget and they will never forgive what has happened this time.
Well, let's expand on that.
Beyond anything we've seen.
I mean, let's expand on that. If Israel is successful and kills every one of these people, the world is never going to forgive this. And I just don't imagine. But let's expand the cynicalness of Netanyahu. If Israel backed and helped found Hamas 45 years ago, then maybe it's cynical, so there's never a legitimate peaceful state, Maybe Israel knows it's energizing Hamas by doing this and permanently making sure they have an enemy to fight forever.
Again, it's because it doesn't want to allow them to have a proper state of their own. So they will continue to create the circumstances and the conditions for which there are people like Hamas, I mean, groups, resistance. They are resistant. They are resisting an occupation, whatever else you think about them, Alex, or whoever else. The fact of the matter is these people are a resistance group resisting their occupation. You might agree or disagree with the way they did it or the form or the manner in which they did it, but the fact of the matter is legally, they have every right to resist their occupation. They have been put in a place in an open-air jail, okay, or I would call it an open-air concentration camp, for the last 16 years.
Well, let me ask you this, Hala. What Muslim states, what Arab states are supporting the Palestinians and who isn't?
I mean, at the moment, everyone is supporting the Palestinian lip service. There is an axis of resistance which runs basically. It's Yemen, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. They're supporting the Palestinians in a militarily way, physically. They're trying to also sort of put pressure on the Israelis and the U.S. And the U.S. and the U.S. and its allies, basically, by conducting certain things. Like Yemen is conducting the boycott of Israeli ships, and the Westerners that are protecting it from Babel, from the Red Sea. You have Hezbollah and then. South Lebanon or North Israel is also putting pressure on the Israelis by conducting another sort of war across the border there. You have the Iraqis resistance also conducting certain attacks against American bases, both in Iraq and Syria. These are the only countries supporting Palestinians or Gaza militarily. The rest of the Arab world, they're supporting Gaza, but mainly by lip service, you know.
Hala, let me ask you another question, because I like to think 10 moves ahead. I know you're a smart lady, you can too. They brought in record numbers of Islamic military age men. We know the CIA likes to use Muslims as cutouts and mercenaries they hire. Then they blame Muslim countries. They've done it over and over again. They sit in Russia, I believe. The evidence is overwhelming. They've thought ahead how unpopular this is. I would expect in massive terror attacks in Europe and the United States, and credit will be taken by Hezbollah, Hamas, probably staged to then legitimize what Israel just did. Even though it doesn't make sense the way the media will run it, I'm really concerned about false flags.
No, Alex, I disagree with you. I'm sorry. Look, Hezbollah or Hamas have never, ever conducted terrorist attacks anywhere.
No, you just missed what I said. I said the globalists, they will stage it and blame them.
Oh, stage it and blame them. I mean, they blame them for everything under the sun. So what's new? The fact whether there will be terrorist attacks in the U.S. or the West, I don't know. But yeah, they're not creating a climate of peace. They're creating a climate of animosity, anger. And when people get angry, you know, there are always elements that you cannot control that will go out on their own and carry out certain things. We've seen this happen in the past. We've seen it happen during the Iraqi war. We've seen it happen post the Iraqi war. We've seen it happen during the Syrian war, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't want to sit here and predict about what's going to happen in the future, but it's bleak if the Palestinians are continued to be massacred like they are, if there is no proper resolution, if there is no proper solution for this Palestinian issue, if we see more tens of thousands of people being killed, yes, the Muslim world eventually will blow up. It will not accept this. There is so much people can watch and take without them getting angry and doing something about it. This is not to say that they are going to go and carry out attacks against anybody, but they will have to try and find another way of supporting the Palestinian brethren.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. So now we're talking chess and not checkers, and you can see it. In closing, any other points you'd like to add? I've been asking the questions. You got 4 minutes, Hala, to make any other points you want.
Well, there's also another thing. I mean, I find it very, very disturbing that the Western media never touches on the Palestinian issue and the Palestinian women issue. You know, you remember the Me Too that blew up in the States, you know, Me Too. Well, there is a Palestinian Me Too scenario going on. Palestinian women are being subjected to sexual violence, to rapes, to sexual abuse by Israeli soldiers. Not only are they being occupied, bombed, and killed, they're also being sexually abused by Israeli soldiers in Gaza and in the prisons. And not a single Western media is planning or deciding or even talking about it yet. And we have actually statements. We have we have women that have talked about it. We have UN reports saying that there's evidence for that. Okay. Yet on October 7th, there was hearsay, no evidence to this day, no proof, no nothing. And stories about Hamas conducting mass rapes went viral with no evidence. These stories have been debunked and they still continue to be repeated as if the truth. Yet on the Palestinian side, you have UN reports talking about it. You have evidence saying that this has happened, and Western media are turning a blind eye as if Palestinian women are less equal or have less rights to any other woman in the world. And I find that abhorrent, actually. So that's why I'm hoping that I brought this up on your show, and that you will take this up, Alex, and you will do another program and discuss the Palestinian women and what's been going on with them, and look at the reports and look at the tweets that have been going on the last few days about them.
I will. You make great points, and I would just encourage you to get an external microphone, because you're making great points, but it's a little bit garbled, so it costs about $10. Listen, that was only 2 minutes. Anything else you'd like to add?
Sorry about the garbage.
No, it's okay. It's overall coming over. I'm telling you, get an external microphone. They're super cheap. They work great. We want to hear your beautiful voice. You got 2 minutes left. Any other things you want to add?
No, I hope you heard what I said about the Palestinian woman. I'd like to remind everybody that this is the one war where there is over 1,000 children limbless. They have amputations. They've been amputated without anesthetic. You have women at the moment giving birth without anesthetic. The conditions are vile. The conditions are subhuman. The people in Gaza are paying a very high price, and God only knows what that price is for. Self-defense is one thing. This is not a license to kill. This, you know, they are eradicating the Palestinians, and people in the U.S. and everywhere should know that their government is supporting what's going on and are complicit in what's going on in Gaza.
All right. And thank you so much. How do people find you, Hala?
I'm on X, on Twitter, and that's how I go by my name, so I'm not hiding.
All right, thank you so much. I want to be 1,000,000,000% clear, folks. There's back channels with the Islamist leaders, with the globalists in Israel. The evidence is overwhelming. There's a larger master plan here. America must morally not support this. We're being set up. And Israel, I tell you, a lot of you are smart. You are being set up. Stop it. Napoleon said, never interrupt your enemy when they're destroying themselves. I am not your enemy. Damn it. And this is bad. This is not good. This is a setup. There was a stand down. There is backroom deals with Iran. I can smell it and I can see it. And those children do not deserve to die. Remember Madeleine Albright on 60 Minutes in the middle of the Clinton administration, they tripled the sanctions that Bush put on them. Millions died, half of them children. By the time they were done, it was 1 million dead kids. This clip's from the middle of it. They cut off the medicine, the penicillin, everything. Iraq's mainly desert. They were importing all their food, most of their food and most of their medicine, and they killed 1 million kids. Those children didn't deserve that, folks. And people say, well, you're just a wimp. Let's kill all the Muslims. Folks, the very globalists are bringing them in and pissing them off. It'd be bad enough to say, let's hit them with a bioweapon and kill all the Muslims. I wouldn't support that, but I get the logic from a perspective. But the globe is a war game. I don't support that. But the globalists are running an operation where they're going to piss the 800 million Muslims off. This is all part of a larger plan, people. And I'm on Team Humanity. I'm for everybody. I don't want to be conquered by Islam either. I'm glad Spain 800 years ago kicked the invasion out. I understand Islam's expansionary. Our governments are bringing them in while attacking them and killing them to piss them off like a beehive. Got a beehive in the backyard. They go over and hit it while we're having a picnic. It's meant to get us attacked. All right, I just did 3 hours without a plug because I get so upset during covering stuff like that. It's very hard to even come on here and plug stuff because it feels weird to even do it. But I'm not going to be here if you don't support us. Infowarsstore.com, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, The Purest Iodine, The Missing Link, X3, 40% off, Turbo Force, 10-Hour Clean Energy, Turbo Force, X3, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, and so many other products at Infowarsstore.com. If you support us telling the truth, want to continue to see us go on, go to Infowarsstore.com or call 888-253-3139. Also, we have a great sponsor, DrJonesNaturals.com. All the nano silver products not available at InfoWars Store that were bestsellers are available at DrJonesNaturals.com. The Super Blue toothpaste with the nano silver, the iodine, the tea tree, the all organic oils, peppermint, you name it, no fillers, no fluoride. The immune swish and swash swish and swallow gargle. That's the immune the wound gel. It's all there with other great supplements at DrJonesNaturals.com. That's DrJonesNaturals.com. Ready to ship to you. Everything is in stock. The Kaba Chill, the Rocket Rest, the Primal Energy, the organic toothpaste. It's all there at DrJonesNaturals.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. All right, I'm going to do 5 more minutes ahead of our guest host, the great Gerald Celente. I'm going to make sure he's here today. Sometimes he's not. Taking over. I got a few other news items. I didn't hit Kate Middleton and all the cancer. I didn't hit a bunch of this, but I tried my best. World War III has already begun. I'm trying to stop nuclear war. We'll be right back. You know, I don't work for the CIA. I don't work for the Republican Party. I don't work for President Trump and the Democrats. I vote for the truth. I support the truth. I'm just trying to be an honest, good broker. And the world's never been more dangerous. You don't need me to tell you that. We're on the edge of total devastation. And the situation in the Middle East is absolutely wrong. And I noticed the insane amount of support I got from some people that are good, some people that are somewhat good, and other people that are absolutely horrible. And so it's been horrifying for me to see the people that post the pro-Hitler stuff saying, finally, Jones has joined Hitler. You know, finally, he wants to kill all the Jews. No, that is not where I'm at. I love everybody. And Israel's got its issues. It's got its positive points, its negative points. But herding all the Palestinians, almost 2 million of them, into the corner of the ocean in Rafah and killing them is a war crime and is genocide. And I will not be part of it. And if they start bombing those people, and they'll claim they're killing terrorists or whatever, I don't know what I'm going to do. But this is disgusting. Israel stood down. There were backroom deals. Biden acts like he's against it. He's heavily involved in it. It's out of control. And the U.S. military, the Navy's built a pier to bring all these people here. They'll be signed up as AOC, Rashid Tlaib, Ilhan Omar minions. So I don't like what the Islamists are setting up in America. The average Muslim isn't a bad person. But the leadership of it is in the New World Order. So there's a larger dialectic where they take different sides, crash them together to create the crisis they want. With open borders, I believe they're going to stage false flags or even provocateur, mentally ill groups like you saw that just attacked Russia, and give them cash to launch attacks. And when it happens, there won't be a discussion of why the government let them in. It'll be, oh, look, the Muslims did it. Carpet bomb them over there. So I'm against Americans dying as a result of this. I'm against the Muslims dying. I'm against the Jews dying. I know these are all diverse groups of people. They're all sorts of folks, people, you know, in what's left of Gaza. The Jared Kushner says, so what? It's already destroyed. Just take it all. Just showing his soullessness. And I support Trump because he overalls anti-globalists. They've attacked him. And I'm glad to hear Jared Kushner has said he won't be involved in the next administration because he doesn't want the heat that his father-in-law is getting. But I'm going to say this right now, if Trump gets reelected, which I want to happen, if I see Jared Kushner within 100 yards of any policy, it's no longer a lesser of two evils. I will no longer support Trump. If I see Jared Kushner on the tit of big tech, probably one of the main spies against Trump the whole time, a double dealer, if I see Jared Kushner anywhere involved in policy, he goes to the White House, that's fine. But if I see him as a lobbyist, or I see him involved with Trump, I'm done. You say, well, why are you attacking Trump? He's under attack. We already know Biden's a soulless creature with Obama. We know they're bad. We know that. I think Trump overall means well, but his dirtbag son-in-law is a psychotic, bare minimum a sociopath. His father, look at him. I mean, my God, he paid double the price for 666 Broadway or whatever it is. These people are nuts, folks. And I don't look for Trump to save us. We're going to have to save ourselves. And I want our borders controlled. I want our dollars secured. I want the right to self-defense. I want to stop the pedophile rings. I want to shut down Hollywood by just not supporting them. That's where I stand. I stand for policies and actual hard ideas. I stand for real, tangible things. And if you put your hope in Trump, you're a fool. That doesn't mean he might do well and doesn't mean the globalists are scared of him. But the point is that you are going to have to get this straight and you're going to have to live your life and become independent and not trust in the system. All right, the great Gerald Celente, the top trends forecaster from Kingston, New York, the birthplace of our republic, takes over in T-minus 60 seconds. Please follow us at X at Real Alex Jones and please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. God bless and good luck. War Room live in 1 hour.
Hey, great being on the Alex Jones Show. You know, I heard him talking about Jared Kushner. You know, the definition of genocide is, according to Oxford, the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying the nation or group. And Jared Kushner, he said that it's a little bit unfortunate situation there, meaning Gaza. A little bit unfortunate situation is slaughtering the people in front of everybody's eyes. A little bit of an unfortunate situation? How about a disgusting situation? But he goes on. But from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out of there and clean it up. You would do your best? Who are you? Hey, Jared, go over there. Hey, Big Mouth, go over there and clean it up. Yeah, go keep slaughtering innocent people. He went on to say that he'd move the Palestinian civilians into the Negev desert. Yep. Isn't that nice? Oh, talking about Trump and Kushner, Trump pardoned Kushner's father. Yeah. For some crap that he tried to do. Yeah. And when Netanyahu came to the United States, he stayed at the Kushner house. Okay? I'm totally opposed to what Israel's doing. Said it from the beginning. And again, by its definition, it's genocide. And this is from your Trends Journal. Actually, I wrote about it in my best-selling book, Trends 2000, back in 1997. Crusades 2000. This is when the Trends Journal was a quarterly magazine, newsletter. Now it's a weekly magazine, and you get a great break when you go to jonestrends.com. It costs you less than a lousy cup of coffee a week. It's like $2.50 a week. The New York Times, the toilet paper record, this is Sunday's paper, $6. Not one trend-worthy story in here. Oh, and Alex Jones was talking about Kate Middleton, right? Yep. Princess Kate wrests control of rumor mill. Big story. Oh, she got cancer. The other guy got cancer, the King Charles. Hey, your brother, your sister, your friends, they got cancer. Who gives a damn? Oh. But the princess got it. The king got it. Oh, my God, how terrible. Oh, nobody gives a damn about you. They're royalty. They don't pee. They don't poo. They are above you. They're a murderous clan. Look at their history. The sun never sets on the British Empire. We slaughter people anywhere that we want. We murder, kill, and rob and steal. Oh, but we're the royalty. So going back to the royalty and the BS of what's going on in Israel, these are the facts. These are the facts. So fact you who don't believe the facts. Regardless of what England's reasons or intentions were, self-serving or otherwise, again, these are Trends Journal. Crusades 2000 was set in motion by the 1917 Balfour Declaration. That's right. Brought to you by the Rothschilds. Look it up. Quote, His Majesty's government, why, I'm His Majesty. I come from one of the greatest crime families in human history. I'm His Majesty. Could you believe looking up to this crap? Could you believe looking up to this crap? His Majesty. Look at this King Charles. A freak. It's a freak show in a country near you. Anyway, His Majesty's government views with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this objective. Hey, His Majesty, who are you over there in England to say what should be going on over there in Palestine? And I'm tired of hearing this stuff spewing out of the mouth of the guy that's the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, saying that God gave you this land. Hey, Gatzon, how about if I don't believe in your God? Could you handle that? I don't tell you to believe in the God I believe in, but don't give me this baloney about God gave you this land. Oh, yeah, chapter 6, section 8 in the Torah, save it. This is genocide being committed in front of everybody's eyes. So today, the United Nations passed a ceasefire resolution. The UN Security Council adopted a resolution on Monday calling for an immediate Gaza ceasefire during Ramadan for the first time since the war's outbreak, after the United States abstained from issuing a veto. Okay, they've been calling for a ceasefire now for how many months? And the United States voted against them? But, however, the United States described the resolution as non-binding, meaning its effects likely won't be felt on the ground in Gaza. Since the resolution is non-binding, it does not create legal obligations for the member states or other parties involved in the conflict. Rather, they capture the international community's views of the matter and are meant to be highly persuasive and not legally binding. There you go. Oh, I forgot. The USSA, they just passed a bill, $1.2 trillion government funding package. This, according to antiwar.com, includes $3.8 billion in military weapons for Israel. And it cuts out the UNRWA, that's the relief agency, to bring food into the Palestinians. That's America. as the country's rotting in front of our eyes. Hey, you been on the subway in New York? How about a night in Calcutta? Isn't it great to see all those National Guard armed in the subway? And all the cops with their guns out? Yeah. Isn't that nice? That's America? That's not my America. It's a third world subway. It's a night in Calcutta. As we send trillions of dollars to the military-industrial complex year after year after year after year after year, as the country is rotting in front of everybody's eyes. A disgrace. That's not my America. My America, I believe in the founding fathers, like George Washington. Farewell address, warning the American people not to become involved in any foreign entanglements. I've read it a number of times on this show. To have no love for a country, no hate for a country. You have either one, you become a slave to them. I launched Occupy Peace. I had major peace rallies. I launched it over a decade ago. Close the bases overseas. What, were over 1,000 bases in some 80 and 90 countries. Bring home the troops and secure the homeland. Yeah. How about that? And rebuild America. This country's going down the crapper right in front of our eyes. Oh, by the way, your Trends Journal, again, jonestrends.com. What did we say? Again, I was on Max Kaiser on InfoWars a couple of months ago. I don't take sides on anything. I call it the way it is, the way we see it as trend forecasters. Gold, Bitcoin, and silver. Bitcoin is back up to $70,000 a coin. Gold, it's only about $2,175 an ounce. It's only up $175 an ounce since the time we came out with our top trends for 2024 and said 2024, a golden year for gold. You go to the... I can't say the proper name for it, the Wall Street Journal, but I spell it with an S and H and I in there, and we could throw in another letter. Yep. You write about how the Chinese are buying gold. You know why? Because the Chinese know how bad it is at home. China, we had forecast the 20th century would be the American century, but the 21st century would be the Chinese century. Because the business of America has been war, and the business of China is business. But no. China launched the COVID war on January 2020 in celebration of its Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the rat. And they locked down the joint for 3 years. They destroyed the lives and livelihoods of hundreds of millions of people. They had a building boom. And with all booms, they're overbuilt. The booms become too big and there's a bust. So they had a real estate bust. Depending on whose numbers you look at, real estate accounts for between 25 to 35% of China's gross domestic product. So it was overbuilt. And then the COVID war made a bad situation very much worse. So that's why you're seeing gold prices going up. The people of the world, unlike in the United States, and we could talk about Taylor Swift. Everybody knows everything about that. A new poll just came out from Pew Research. Nearly 50% of the people have no idea of how many people have been killed in Palestine, in Gaza. So the Americans have no clue what's going on, other than the people that tune into InfoWars and subscribe to the Trends Journal and go to other sites like Judge Napolitano's and others. You know, we're a small group among us. And again, do everything you can to support InfoWars, because they're giving everything they can to support you. So now let's go back to gold. They're going to continue to lower interest rates. The markets are artificially propped up. You got 1% of the people in America own 54% of the equity markets. Private equity groups that did not exist when I was a young guy, they own the whole game. So they're going to do everything they can to artificially prop this thing up. But as they lower interest rates, the dollar is going to decline. The deeper the dollar falls, the higher gold prices go. If Bitcoin wasn't there, you would see gold prices probably double what they are now. But people can't afford to buy gold in a lot of countries. But they see their currency being devalued because of high inflation, so they're going to keep going into the cryptocurrencies. End of story. And cryptocurrencies, and Max and I disagree with this, but I say the only end of cryptocurrency is going to come when the central banks go digital currency, because that's what they're going to do. There's no way in the world the United States could pay off it's heading toward, what, $35 trillion in debt. Every 100 days, America's debt's increasing by $1 trillion. They're not going to be able to pay this thing off. So what they're going to do is they're going to come out, the Russians hacked our banking system, or Chinese, whatever, they're going to make up something. We're calling a bank holiday. It's a holiday. You can't get your money out. Hey, but don't worry about it. We came up with a new currency. It's called a digital coin. And the young people are all digitized to death anyway, so it's very easy for them to pay digitally. When they go digital, that's when I believe they're going to wipe out the competition, like Bitcoin. But anyway, going back to that, that's down the road a ways. The other one, the other big one to watch, are oil prices. Oil is going to go up as the Ukraine war expands. Go back to your Trends Journal. For a year and a half, week after week, month after month, we've been warning about Ukraine losing the war, and there's going to be either a major attack on a nuclear power plant, strikes deep inside Russia, or a major false flag event. And now you got it. And this is the propaganda that the Wall Street Journal prints today. Right up here. Front and center. Attack in Russia deals a blow to Putin's strongman image. So they're talking about the 137 people that were killed at that concert hall. Hey, Wall, SHI, you know what, other letter goes in their journal. You didn't write 9-1-1 in America, 9-11 attack in America deals a blow to little Georgie Bush's strongman image. Because how can you call little Georgie Bush a strongman? The guy got a pair of cojones smaller than a mothball. Anybody could do anything, attack any country. But that's the propaganda that they sell. So now, World War III, as Alex was saying, is just heating up. You go back to your Trends Journal, February 22nd, 2022, 2 days before the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Your cover of your Trends Journal, from COVID war to Ukraine war to World War. World War III has begun. People have no clue about it. Nothing. There's going to be a major false flag event. that's going to, quote, make it official. Israel is going to escalate the Middle East war. Go back to your Trends Journal. Top Trends 2023. Middle East meltdown. We warned that this was going to happen. A bad situation is becoming very worse. And now Netanyahu said, we're not coming, sending the people to America. We're angry that you didn't veto this ceasefire. You only abstained. What's taken so long? This is the third one. People are being slaughtered in front of everybody's eyes. And hospital after hospital being destroyed. Hamas is hiding in there. Hamas is hiding in there. Here's your cover. You know we're not making it up. And that's why you subscribe to the Trends Journal, by the way, because you get history before it happens. And like Alex said, don't call me an anti-Semite. Don't call me an anti-Jew because I'm against the war. The same with me. My best friends are Jewish. And three of my last four girlfriends were Jewish. And you know that line, you know why Jewish men die before their wives? They want to. It's a joke. I didn't make that up. But anyway, I'm not anti-American because I'm against Americans' wars. And again, I launched Occupy Peace over a decade ago. So this Israel seizes more West Bank land. They're taking over 3 miles of almost 2,000 acres of land and calling it settlements. It's stolen land in violation of the Geneva Convention and Article 242 of the United Nations. They're ramping this up. If Iran becomes involved in this war, because what have they done so far? They've killed a number of Iranian commanders, blew up some oil depots and oil fields. If Iran becomes involved in this war, you're going to see oil prices spike to above $130 a barrel. And when that happens, kiss the economy goodbye. It's going to crash the equity markets and the global economy if Iran becomes involved in this. We need peace on earth. And as Alex Jones says, it's not up to Trump or anybody else. It's up to we the people. And one of the ways to unite is under the banner of InfoWars. Because they're giving you a lot. And of course, the Trends Journal and Occupy Peace. We need peace on earth. I'm telling you, World War III's already begun. And the people that tune into InfoWars know how serious it really is. Again, $1.2 trillion and most of the dough going to the military-industrial complex. That Dwight D. Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, warned the American people, the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of scientists, sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. And here we are. Rotting in front of everybody's eyes. Got Huckleberry sending state down to the National Guard to the subway. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Support InfoWars. A lot more. Hey, great B90 Alex Jones show. And like they're showing here, the Trends Journal is the only magazine in the world that gives you history before it happens. They don't teach trend forecasting at Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Cambridge, Oxford. You know why? They don't know how. Again, best-selling books, Trends 2000, Trend Tracking, Far Better Than Megatrends, Time Magazine, Weekly Trends Journal Magazine. You get it for almost nothing because we're trying to give you everything. You go to jonestrends.com. It costs you a grand total of $2.50 a week. Nothing. A lousy cup of coffee somewhere. And again, you support us, we're supporting you. The more subscribers we have, the more we can do. And the same thing goes back to InfoWars. And they're giving you these great products, and they keep as Alex Jones said, you know, that only like 1% of the people that are watching are buying the products to keep InfoWars going. So you got to buy more of the products to keep it going because they're doing everything they can. The staff works tirelessly to give you the information that they're putting out there. And they have a great bargain right now coming out with that survival shield. And boy, that's something you really need now to survive during these tough times ahead. So check out their product, the Survival Shield. It's, let's see, it's the power of activated triiodine, and it's Survival Shield X3, and it's back in stock, and you get 40% off. And they derive this thing from ancient sea salts deep beneath the surface. And it uses a newly discovered process to stabilize the iodine in it and to activate the triiodine formula. And it's off the charts what this product does for you. It's incredible triiodine formula featuring potassium iodide, a whole bunch of Survival Shield products. And fish and other seafood from the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean, the water quality. Thyroid health. Again, it's one great product after another to give you what you really need during these times, because these are, again, surviving with Survival Shield and Guns Golden, a getaway plan. I mean, you need all of this to have everything that you can get. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. I'm serious. This is very serious. We have to survive in every way we can. People ask me, what can you do? I say, get in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You're in the fight for your life. The fight for your life. And if you want to see how bad things have gone, here, this was last week. U.S. slips from top 20 of happiest countries. The United States has fallen out of the top 20 happiest countries for the first time since the global ranking began. Fell to 23rd. Once upon a time, not too long ago, people from all over the world wanted to come to America, the land of opportunity. Gone. Gone. Number 23, happiness. It's a dirty word. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hey, I'm Gutson Gavin Newsom. I'm an arrogant boy with a dirty look. Get back in your house. You can't go to work. We're closing down to fight the COVID war. We're going to destroy California and destroy the people's lives. Hey, you left your heart in San Francisco? San Francrapso. Destroyed. Oh, brought to you by the Geek Freaks. The first ones to lock down. No happiness. Hey, I'm little Andy Cuomo. My daddy was Mario M. Cuomo. I renamed the Tappan Zee Bridge after my daddy. Oh, and you forgot to put the M in Mario M. Cuomo. Rip down those signs. Only cost we, the plantation workers of Slavelandia, $30 million to rename the damn thing. Stay at home. I don't want to see more than 10 people gathered during COVID. How come not 11? Because I make up any damn numbers I want and stand 6 feet apart because the wind blows exactly in straight lines. In 6 feet, does it go up and down? And in those stores, make sure you put those plexiglass shields because the wind doesn't go up them. Does it go down? Does it go around? And does it come from behind you? Happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what our founding fathers fought for, become a dirty word. It's a dirty word because we got a bunch of little dirty freaks running the country. Oh, how big are you? No, you know what? To look up to a little clown boy like Mike Johnson. Why, I'm the majority lead in the House. A house of clowns. In a country near you. Oh, I look up to Macron with his fake hair and his thing about size of this. I don't know. I like Olaf Scholz. How about Sunak over there in the UK? Yeah, put an F of U and a C in it too. Yeah. Look at the clown show. Where are the people? Where are the people? I had enough of your crap. Who are you to tell me what to do? Why, I'm Chucky Schumer. Here, I wear my glasses like this and I look like a jerk and I jerk around all the time. I'm little Lindsay. Did you come out of the closet yet, Graham? World War III has begun. We are going to be facing the worst economic collapse in modern history. No one's talking about it. It's one of our top trends for 2024. Banks go bust. Again, the subway situation in New York, the crime all around the country. Nobody talks about it. This didn't exist before the COVID war. Did not exist before the COVID war. As I wrote when this was happening, when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And they lost it. They lost it. It's a freak show out there. When I was a young guy, we were married at the time, we used to watch MASH, All in the Family. We had a great dinner. My wife was Italian, may she rest in peace. And cooked a great dinner, watched those two shows, then took a nap, then watched Saturday Night Live when it was a lot of fun with Belushi and Gilda Radner. And then we'd go out at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. After Saturday Night Live was over. New York City now is dead at 12 o'clock at night. 12 o'clock at night, dead. Dead. Everybody, the people that grew up in the city, the women, you're afraid to walk at night. That's right. Never were they afraid. And I remember New York City when it went down in the 70s. You were never afraid. And I was a young guy back. Now it's a whole different place. The COVID war destroyed the world. Goes back to China. Oh, you see what China's doing now? One of our top trends. They're becoming more self-sustaining. We don't need you, America. Keep your high tech. We don't want you here. The only way America is going to come back is to become a self-sustaining nation. We have the human and natural resources to be self-sustaining. We don't have to bring these products. Hey, got to bring the prosciutto in, of course, stuff like that. Great French wine, but not our products. Made in America. That's the only way that's going to get us back. And support InfoWars because they're made in America and giving you all they can for the best you can get. Be right back. Hey, great being on the Alex Jones Show. And as I said, do everything you can to support InfoWars because they're doing everything they can to support you. Journalism is dead. It's gone. They fired everybody. They're using AI. And it's a joke. There's no journalism and nothing more than prostitutes, media whores that get paid to put out by their corporate pimps and their government whoremasters. And so anyway, and again, a trends journal, you go to jonestrends.com and you get history before it happens. Again, they show the cover of our homepage, and I'm on with Lynette Zhang, who really knows a lot about gold, and gold is just beginning its takeoff. You know, I talked about Jared Kushner before. I wanted to get the article to make sure, give you the facts. This is from Business Insider going back to August of last year. Jared Kushner's dad, Charles, who Trump pardoned, gave $1 million to a Trump super PAC. Charles Kushner, the father of Donald Trump's son-in-law and the recipient, one of the former president's final pardons, donated $1 million to Trump. Leading super PAC. Kushner pleaded guilty in 2004 to a host of federal charges. I mean, this is a joke, man. The cops bust your chops. Your taillight is on, off. Where were you? How many drinks did you have? Stand on your head. Repeat the alphabet backwards. Oh, it's like the J.P. Morgan Chase gang. Five felonies. Convicted of five felonies. Nobody goes to jail. Hey, don't you know who I am? Hey, I'm Jamie Dimon. Dimon, you got it? What a joke. Charles Kushner, super PAC. Kushner pleaded guilty in 2004 to a host of federal charges, including witness tampering and tax evasion. That's it, right. Hey. In one of the more salacious aspects of the case, Kushner hired a sex worker to lure his brother-in-law and then sent a video of the encounter to his sister. I mean, this is something. Yep. Charles Kushner's donation was one of the largest to the pro-Trump Make America Great Again PAC. But he also got $100 million from Sheldon Adelson. Yeah, big casino owner back then. And what did Trump do? Hey, move that, you don't have to be in Tel Aviv with the embassy, U.S. embassy. Move it to Jerusalem. Oh, you know that land you stole over there from Syria and the Golan Heights? Hey, it's yours. I guess $100 million buys your way. Again, Alex Jones is talking about World War III. The clown boy playing our Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, Blimpo. Yeah, murdered a lot of people in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah, that guy whose last job was sitting on the board of directors of Raytheon before the second largest defense contractor in America before Biden brought him in as Secretary of Defense. Yeah, that Lloyd Austin. The toilet paper record. Austin commends allies to support of Ukraine. This is quote. Austin declared at the meeting that, quote, Ukraine's battle remains one of the greatest causes of our time. To which I would say to him, F you. What do you mean the greatest causes of our time? This crap has been going on between Russia and Ukraine since Catherine the Great. And. You didn't read our Trends Journal back in the spring of 2014 when the United States overthrew the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in Ukraine, brought to you by Victoria Nuland. No, forget that. He goes on. Fat mouth goes on. Fat boy with a fat mouth goes on. Later, he cast the war as crucial, this is a quote, crucial to our security. No. What's going on in Ukraine is not crucial to our security. You're a liar. You're a warmongering freak. Quote, the United States would face grave new perils in a world where aggression and autocracy are on the march, and where tyrants are emboldened, and where dictators think they could wipe out democracy off the map. Oh, you mean like what they're doing over the democracy? Democracy in the apartheid state of Israel that's slaughtering the people in Gaza, that we're supplying them the money to kill the people? Oh, no, we can't talk about that. You're an anti-Semite. And this anti-Semite crap, shove it. Has nothing to do with it. And let's make this straight. The people running Israel are not Semites. They are Ashkenazis from northeastern Europe, like northeast of Turkey. They're not Semites. Palestinians are Semites. So save your language. He goes on. Today, Ukraine's survival is in danger. And America's security is at risk. Total lie. Our security is not at risk. This is the same crap they sold when I was a young kid during the Vietnam War. If we don't stop those commies in Vietnam, before you know it, those dominoes are going to keep falling. Yeah, the domino theory. And before you know it, the commies will take over Asia, and the dominoes will be falling to the shores of California. I'm not making that up. The same lies. Same lies. And now we got a little clown of nothing over there in the Latvian foreign minister told DW, Deutsche Welle News, quote, the alliance is moving to get, quote, on a military track, quote, to get ready for war. Alex was saying just before I came on, World War III is heating up. Is going to be a major false flag event that's going to make this official. And again, guns, gold, and a getaway plan, GC's three G's. Gold prices are going to go through the roof as this thing keeps heating up. And the global economy keeps going down. And then on March 14th, another arrogant little boy of nothing, Jens Stoltenberg, said that the European members of the North American Alliance will invest $470 billion in defense in 2024. As the nations are going to crap, Germany is in a recession. Japan is in a recession. UK is in a recession. United States is heading to recession, but it's not going to be stagflation. It's not going to be a stagnant economy. It's going to be a declining economy with rising inflation. They're going to lower interest rates in the run-up to the presidential reality show. They want to keep Ms. Faccia Brutta, ugly face, Janet Yellen, the former head of the Fed head, as Treasury Secretary of the United States, because the Fed is running our Treasury. It's right in front of everybody's eyes. They're going to keep lowering interest rates. The lower interest rates go, the deeper the dollar falls. The deeper the dollar falls, the higher gold prices go. End of story. And the more they ramp up the war, the more gold is going to be bought as a safe haven asset. And don't forget about the banks going bust. The office building crisis, no one's talking about it. We're writing about it in detail in each week. The office vacancy rate, nobody in the buildings in New York City, 23% vacant. Nobody there. All the businesses that depended on commuters going out of business. Office occupancy rate, 10 largest cities, a little bit over 50%. They're going to go default on their loans. We're into the worst crisis in modern times. Stay tuned. You're getting more from InfoWars, Trends Journal, JonesTrends.com, and we'll see you next week if we're still here and they haven't blown us up.